much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
3, 2, 1. Transmission.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Men were men back then, I'll tell you. You wanted to do something private with another man, it wasn't gay. No, it's just two men celebrating each other's strength.
Shut up, man. Are you homosexual?
I'm gonna bite my pillow. It's what I'm gonna do.
Why does being suck so bad? Why does being suck so bad? Why does being suck so badly?
All right, well, I'll leave you to say that, and I'll just thank you for joining me as you're saying that. I do appreciate you being on Showbiz Tonight with us.
Thank you for having us. Popo's out.
How is your health? Are you good? You all right there, pal?
I'm fine.
Okay, right, that's good.
That's funny for so many reasons.
And now,
I'm on the verge of vomiting right now.
Our feature presentation.
Who was that old dude that almost died on the phone?
Our friend
with
Sam Weiser, who did die?
No, I mean, yeah, he almost died at that moment. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, Sam used to be a good friend of the Kevin and Bean Show, and like many of our good friends, Dewan and Doto and Nick and so many of them, they're no longer on the show.
Well,
what's up with that? Why do we drive them away?
What's up with that? No, we don't drive them away. We attach ourselves to them just before they go over the edge.
That is such, yes, like that's exactly what happens.
And I think that's my fault, because I love crazy people. And so we attach ourselves to him. We go, wow, we got to call this guy a lot. He's unbelievably nuts. And then 2 days later, we start going, I don't know, I'm getting a little worried about even putting him on the air. Did you read his latest email? This is terrible.
Oh, the Pollies. Yeah, there's the Pollies. Yep. See, they're on the list, yep, too. All the crazies. And I genuinely miss Doto, by the way, because Doto cracks me up every single time we talk to him. But he is the international man of mystery, so we have a lot of trouble getting him back on.
We could book Tom Cruise before we could book Doto again. Mm-hmm. And it shouldn't necessarily be that way, but it is. It's just impossible to get a hold of him. Mabin, maybe you should shoot him an email today.
Okay.
See where he is.
It has been a while. Okay. Yeah. All right. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday. You know I am a competitive athlete, obviously. We've discussed it a great deal.
Stop
I
want to saying brag. That. Never been a competitive athlete.
And
I'm always
looking for.
Hey, I'm talking here.
Hold on, Bean. I just want to give one anecdote about how you're an athlete, okay? Quickly before your story. When we played the midgets in basketball, I had to tell Bean that he had to dribble the ball. That you can't just take the basketball and run with it.
Well,
seriously?
I don't remember that at all.
That happened.
No, I don't remember that.
Okay, back to you.
Basketball was never my my sport. But, you know, you remember when I climbed the tallest mountain on all seven continents? Remember, I did
wasn't
that.
You.
We were talking about that last week. I thought that was me. Wasn't
no,
that
no,
me?
That was a guy that's like 20 years old.
Oh, that was Johnny Street. Yeah. That's right. And then, of course, Whisker Wars, that's your competition. That's the one you're getting into is competitive hair growing.
Yeah.
But I think I found mine. I think I finally found my niche. Look, I'm a finely tuned athlete. I mean, I've got the Adonis body and the drive and the motivation to be a champion. I've just been looking for the right avenue, the right sport for me. And I think I found it. The bee wearing competition that happens every year in Shuang, China.
What is bee wearing?
Bee wearing is for me. First of all, I love bees, as you know. Bees are among my favorite
bees.
Animals.
Okay.
Yes, it's actual bees. I mean, I plant every flower. I have, you know, my people do it, but I plant every flower or tree that I can that will attract bees because I love bees. I love having bees. I love the hum of bees. I love seeing bees. I love watching bees. Bees are awesome. Okay. I was a beekeeper for Halloween one year.
How much can anyone love bees?
Well, certainly no more than Bean.
No, I mean, it's really weird, right? I mean, you could look at them and go, hey, that's fascinating, but you specifically go out of your way to plant flowers that attract bees so that you can watch them?
Yes, and I think that's a great idea because of the colony collapse of the last few years. I mean, there are far too few bees in the world. You've been hearing all about that.
Yes.
But anyway, moving on. The bee-wearing competition happens in Shuang, China.
Hey!
Thank you very much. They do it every year, and what you do is you're wearing shorts. Already I'm dressed for the occasion.
Oh, no.
Goggles and nose plugs, and then you stand on scales.
Not
and
me.
Then you – what?
No, you're going to – go ahead. This is scaring me.
Then you take a queen bee and they put it in a tiny little cage and tie it to your body. And then you stand there and wait for bees to be attracted, and they soon will be.
That's what I thought.
And see how much weight you can collect of the bees on your body.
Before you freak out.
That's what I thought. That's why I was
screaming.
That's why I was freaking out when you said just shorts and goggles. I was like, oh no, you're going to be covered with bees.
Yeah, you want to get as many bees as you can. So the winner this year was a 42-year-old man named Wang Dalen. He had 52 pounds of bees.
Wow!
And I can put a post up if you want to see photos of it. But 52 pounds of bees. The second place guy was 50 pounds. By the way, nowhere near the world record. The world record in this competition is currently held by an American. He is a U.S. animal trainer named Mark Bianasiello, and he attracted 87 pounds of bees onto his body.
USA! 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 USA!
But what's a better competition for me? You're wearing shorts. All you do is stand there for 60 minutes.
Yeah,
even I can
move.
Do that. And it involves bees. I'm going next year. I'm gonna enter this competition and win it.
You're gonna go to China. Do you have to go to China, or can you just do it
in your backyard and have them film it and send it over or something?
Well, I mean, I think this is like any competition. Sure, you're welcome to, go for your own record and tape it or something. But I think if you want to be, at the official one, if you want to go to the hollering contest, you got to go to North Carolina.
Sure.
This one happens to be in China every year. But, the bee-wearing competition.
Oh.
I think
is there
I finally
a technique
found my activity.
Something?
That freaks me out.
No, I don't think there is.
There's no technique.
Is it just luck?
Well, the only technique
you gotta
I can imagine.
You got to get a hot queen. That's it. You got to get a really hot queen.
Like a real slutty queen who's got a reputation.
Yeah.
I don't know, Lisa. I'd love to find out more, but maybe there is something in the person's scent that also adds to the attraction for the bees. Because, some people are, more attractive to insects than others. So maybe there's something there.
And I would imagine being a bigger person, you'd have more space for them to land and stuff. So maybe being bigger is a better thing, too.
Ooh, maybe.
And your height would be helpful.
I'm so there.
Be his deal.
I'm going to enter the snake competition.
What's that?
That's where you just stand there and you get covered with snakes, however much weight you can gain. These are terrible ideas.
It is bizarre.
Because that would, I don't know if I speak for everyone, but that would freak me the hell out.
You speak for 99.9% of everyone.
Man. Bees. Nope. Nope.
Bees, yes.
All right. Look. I'm saying nope. You're saying yes. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Amito, shall we?
We fire the jokes at you like an automatic weapon of comedy. We throw a curveball joke at you, hit you right in the head. You go, wow, what happened? We take you on a little trolley ride down Story Lane. You're having a good time, enjoying our little tale, think you know what's coming. Boom, left turn. You don't know how it happened. You don't know where you are, but you like it. You're yucking it up. You're laughing. Your sides are hurting. All of a sudden, you realize you're feeling something, too. When did that happen?
I'm sorry. I thought there was more. That's one of the best clips ever.
Yes, it is.
That's how powerful today's show is.
We can't do that, so we bring in Joe Rogan.
Excellent.
Yeah, because Joe Rogan can do that on a regular basis.
Yes.
He's one of those guys. He's one of the best stand-ups that you'll ever see. And he's able to somehow change his act really a lot on the fly.
Mm-hmm.
There are some people who have to craft their chunk, and they have to stick to it, and the punchlines are worded exactly the same inflection, whatever. Joe can talk about anything and be fascinating and funny. So, and he's also on the internet too much. And he smokes a lot of weed and just sits on the internet and looks at animals killing humans. And then he comes in all bug-eyed and worried about what's going to attack us next. So we got Joe Rogan on the program today. Very excited about that. We have Adam Carolla on the program. This Week in Rage. You had a premonition. Most of the time, premonitions are bad.
My premonition was that one day we were going to do this phone topic, and I was wrong about it.
We only bumped it one day, dude. Come on now.
2 days.
2 days, okay. premonition, oh, man, I don't know. This is a bad sign. Maybe I shouldn't, get in the car and drive or whatever. And people have premonitions all the time. My guess is they almost never, ever, ever come true. But it's possible. It's possible. I had one where I was afraid to get on a plane. And my wife and I were looking at each other seriously for a minute going, I don't know, man. Maybe this is that one time where if you listen to your gut and don't get on the plane and it goes down and you're not on it, you save your life. Which is stupid, and it didn't happen that way, but that's just what we thought.
Do you think Final Destination created a lot more of those moments?
Could
people saw
be.
It
I
in
imagine,
the movie?
Yeah.
Could be, yeah. We're going to tell you about we got some highlights from Repo Games, one of our favorite shows. We have Dr. Mo on the program today, who is going to talk to Bean about his new strategy for losing weight.
Oh, it's going to be great. It's going to be so effortless and so easy. Again, I look for things to do in my life where I'm required to do very little, and this is one of them.
And it's going to be fantastic, and I hope you do it. And I hope you don't let Dr. Mo talk you out of it.
Oh, I've already made up my mind. Okay. I'm doing it. There's nothing Dr. Mo can say that's going to stop me, because you know what? He's just a doctor.
Right. And what does he know?
What does he know? Right. I'm so sick of doctors and scientists pretending they know more than I do.
We also have Mark Paul Gosselaar and Breckin Meyer in the studio talking about Franklin and Bash.
Mm-hmm.
How about that? So that's coming up this morning as well. We will take a break and come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat next.
I can't wait to, right after the top of the hour, talk about the latest injustice done to the Kevin and Bean Show here in the building. Because, you know, for years we've been fighting against furniture. We've been fighting against chairs and headphones and light bulbs and everything else. I mean, it's like working in a dungeon where they occasionally throw you down supplies. But yeah. the new outrage, I think, is, Ralph, am I right? It's sending you over the edge. This could be the deal breaker for you.
It's unacceptable.
It's unacceptable.
There's
yeah.
subhuman conditions here at the radio station. And really, in America, we shouldn't be living this way.
I think
it's
we
not
are
Indonesia,
getting...
for Christ's sake.
I think we are getting to the point where there may be some sort of a strike or a walkout or a lockout or however those work. But it's bad, and we'll explain coming up after the top of the hour. First, though, speaking of Ralph Garman, time for a first look at the Showbiz Beat. On a Tuesday, Kevin and Bean Show.
Before I get to showbiz news, I do have passes to give away to the very special Kevin and Bean advanced screening of Cowboys and Aliens.
Kick ass!
This movie looks amazing. Jon Favreau directs. Daniel Craig, Harrison Ford, and Olivia Wilde star in the film.
Is Daniel Craig from the future? Is that how he has the...
No. He's a cowboy who has been kidnapped by aliens or abducted by aliens.
How does he have
and
the
then
weapon?
He's dropped back into the desert, and when he wakes up, he has no memory of who he is or where he comes from, and he has this contraption strapped to his arm.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. So he's not from the future.
I didn't know it was a comic book, so
all
I have
the
no
cowboys
backstory.
Are from cowboy days.
So a cowboy is a cowboy.
Yes.
And then the aliens
are also in aliens. Cowboy times.
Right, but they're
but
aliens.
No one's from the future. Everyone's
okay.
Everyone's living
that's
where they
all
live.
That's not what I meant. Okay, alien.
Everybody's good. They all live where, in the time that they're from.
My bad. Back to you.
No time travel, just aliens.
Okay.
Whew. Full-time job working here, people. If you'd like to see it before anybody else, it happens on Thursday, July the 28th. It's in movie theaters everywhere on July the 29th. I want to ask you a trivia question. Harrison Ford, of course, one of the stars. All you need to do is answer this trivia question about Mr. Ford and you. Let's take the first two callers at 1-800-520-1067 who can answer this question. Harrison Ford has had a lengthy career, long, long career.
True.
Too long.
Took him a long time to make his way into show business. He didn't become a star until he was well into his 30s. But the first role that really caught Hollywood's attention regarding Harrison Ford was in a movie directed by his longtime pal George Lucas called American Graffiti. American Graffiti. Very entertaining film if you've never seen it. Ron Howard stars in it. Cindy Williams. This is all pre-Happy Days and Laverne and Shirley and whatnot. If you can name... his character in American Graffiti, Harrison Ford's character in American Graffiti, you will get a pair of passes if you're one of the first two callers at 1-800-520-1067.
You can hear people right now typing into Google.
Sure.
Well, fastest typist then will get it.
That's
you
right.
know what you start doing is just take, load up the phones, and then go to people, and I'll ask them the question. If they can answer it, they get the passes. If they can't, then we hang
on
with them.
That would be fun.
We hang up with them with anger and prejudice.
But then, like the fourth or fifth caller, they get the advantage of they can type. A little bit. They might be
no,
able to
man,
get
we just burn, all burn. Right. They won't even know about the question. They want to see it coming, yo.
All right, I got gotcha.
You. You know.
I'm down.
Rocking it old school. That's how we do it.
Is that old school?
Yeah.
Okay.
We used to take people live on the air and ask them questions.
Oh, sure.
Back in the good old days of radio.
Then we realized they were bad for the most part.
Yeah. It might be a fun experiment.
Yeah.
Okay, starting off today's showbiz news, Betty White is a no-good whore.
Agreed.
What?
Agreed.
No good goddamn whore. Damn her to hell. She's lived too long.
What did my sweet Betty do?
Well, I mentioned yesterday that after the success that a Marine had asking Mila Kunis to the Marine Corps ball, and then a female Marine asked Justin Timberlake to the Marine Corps ball, they all said yes. Betty White yesterday turned down the Marine that asked her to the Marine Corps ball. The Marine put up a YouTube video asking Betty, who he claims was his favorite actress, to be his escort to the Marine Corps ball, and Betty said no.
That
bitch.
Was she wearing her Al-Qaeda uniform at the time?
Yes.
Did she mention?
She has grown a beard now and is living in the desert. She said, I cannot accept as I will be taping an episode of Hot in Cleveland. You will.
Come on.
If Mila Kunis and Justin Timberlake can carve in a little space in their schedules,
right?
Don't you think that Betty White could make a little room for one night to go to the Marine Corps ball?
Yeah, and Mila Kunis is filming a movie that week also.
Yes.
Wow, that is unacceptable. I'm with you on this one, Ralph. She's a no-good whore.
She's a no-good whore.
Don't waste our time with the elderly. They're dying.
Finally seeing her true stripes. And from the oldest to the youngest, congratulations to Ryan Phillippe. He's got a new girlfriend. According to E! Online, Ryan has quietly been dating Demi Lovato for the past few months.
Really?
For those of you... Yes, Tom Likas.
Wow. What just happened?
For those of you who are keeping score at home, he's 36. She's 18. Would that be double her age? Well, let me do a little quick math. Yes, it certainly
would.
Yes,
it would be, yes.
She is literally half her age.
Well done, Ryan.
Yeah, that's a good get right there at 18. You're not going to get much better than that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's like that's like when you go to the supermarket and you're looking to buy some milk, and you go way in the back because that's where they put the best milk because it's got the longest expiration date on it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. You get that fresh milk, and that's going to last you a long time.
Right? I'm in my 40s, but guarantee that I'm not some old guy wanting to perv a young boy.
That's right.
Young girl.
Young girl, yes.
Young
girl. Absolutely.
Unbelievable.
Really? Is he making a comeback?
Hopefully.
And Angelina Jolie's kids. Here's my prediction. They're either going to be the most erudite, sophisticated, smart, accomplished people in the world.
Well-traveled.
They are going to be just the most well-rounded people on the planet. Or they're going to have experienced so much by the age of 13 that they will delve directly into a life of drugs and alcohol and bad behavior.
Just go right to Drew's
celebrity. They won't
celebrity
be able to go any further with their development because by 13 they will have done it all and seen it all.
That's true.
They will get so bored with life that they will start a horrible spiral of drugs and alcohol.
Could be too much too soon, once you've already been to 100 countries by your bar mitzvah.
Why, what's the story? What happened?
I don't think that the Jolie Pitt children are being bar mitzvahed anytime soon.
Whatever they are. The point was, by the time they're 13.
Angelina tells a story that her sons Maddox and Pax... What planet are Maddox and Pax from, by the way? When did they land in their spacecraft? We are Maddox and Pax. they were shooting, mom was shooting a Louis Vuitton ad in Cambodia, and apparently Maddox and Pax took to the local cuisine so much that they started gobbling down the cooked crickets that apparently are a local delicacy there in Cambodia. Right. She said initially she was worried they wouldn't like the insects, so she wanted to give them a taste so they would open up their minds and experience it, but apparently they liked them so much, she said they sucked them down like Doritos. In fact, Angelina became afraid that they might get sick from eating so many of the creatures, and she had to ban crickets from their diet. Too many cooked crickets. You know, that's not good for kids.
We've all had that problem, you know?
I've never had that problem
with too many cooked
crickets.
That's right.
And you know what? And given the choice between cooked crickets and Doritos, I'm taking Doritos every time, right?
Me too.
One of the kids is from Cambodia, right? That's where he was adopted from.
Well,
right?
Originally, I don't think he's really going to... any experience with the Cambodian lifestyle because he was an infant when he was removed. But that's too much adventure for a toddler or whatever they are now. You know, start them off with like oatmeal and cookies and stuff. And then some point introduce the exotic cuisine of Cambodia.
You do have to build slowly or you're going to peak too early. You're right.
Yes.
No question.
And Jason Bateman's in the news. He's got that new movie coming out with Ryan Reynolds.
I love him so much.
Called Switch-A-Doo, My Darling.
I'm sure that's not the name, but I don't know what it is.
It's Freaky Friday.
Nope. We have a kid and we don't know why.
We gotta get out of this place.
I think it's The Change-Up.
The Changelings.
Changes.
Change.
No, that was an Angelina Jolie movie.
Some kind of change something.
Changes.
Say it again,
Chip.
Basically...
Change-Up.
Change-Up. Finally, someone is making a movie about people who switch bodies. Finally, someone's getting around to making that movie, because I've been waiting for a film like that. Oh, wait a minute. There's been about 400 movies like that before.
Yeah. But he's great.
Jason's great? He credits his wife Amanda with saving his life in an interview this week. Amanda, who, by the way, is daughter of singer Paul Anka. Did you know that?
No.
Paul Anka's daughter he's married to. She said she would leave him if he didn't get help for his drug and alcohol problem. Did you know he was an addict?
What?
Wow. He didn't want to lose her, so he got himself to rehab, got clean, and they've been happily married ever since.
I had no idea.
It was many years ago. It was back when he was a child star, when he was coming out of the Hogan family or whatever that show was he used to do with. You remember the show?
That's the one.
Valerie Harper, I think, was the lead in it, and then she left, and Sandy Duncan took
Hogan.
over. Hogan! Not Hogan's Heroes. Oh. You're thinking of a different Hogan.
That's all I know.
And he was sort of the Michael J. Fox of that show. That's what he was always being compared to.
Okay.
And I think as a young man, he started dabbling into the party lifestyle, and she helped him clean his
house. How do you not? If you're a big star,
you're making that
kind of
cash,
teenager
on television.
Come on.
Absolutely. Do we have an answer to my trivia question?
We do.
I think Jason on line 4 may know the answer. Jason? Jason?
It's Bob Falfa.
Bob Falfa, indeed. Bob Falfa was Harrison Ford's character in American Graffiti. Great character, too.
Bob Falfa.
Great drag race scene with him and a cowboy hat and everything. He actually shows energy and he smiles. And
well, he was young.
It's a very different Harrison Ford than who we've come to know and love these days. Congratulations, Jason. Hold on. We're going to give you all the details, but you're going to see cowboys and aliens.
Thanks.
You're very welcome. Also, welcome to, congratulations to Jim, who also had the correct answer. Today's celebrity birthdays, Brian May of the band Queen is 64 years old today. Actor Anthony Edwards from ER in many films, including Top Gun. He was Goose.
He was Goose.
Oh, was he ever Goose.
Goose. He's Goose, yeah.
He's 49. Where is Anthony Edwards? Why isn't he working more? I think he's a real good actor.
No, it's a good question.
I want him on television. Current WBC heavyweight champion Vitaly Dr. Iron Fist Klitschko is 40 years old today.
It's a good nickname.
Oh, Dr. Iron Fist.
He's not just Iron Fist. He's a doctor with it.
We had Vitaly in. Remember when he came in the studio? We had
an absolutely.
You have no memory of that.
Not a bit.
No. I have an autographed pair of gloves at home from Dr. Iron Fist.
How about that?
Yeah. Jason McGuire of Death Cab for Cutie. He's the drummer of that band. He's 37 years old today. And actor Jared Padalecki. You know him from Supernatural. He's 29. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Well, you're marching out in front of the radio station every day after the show, Ralph, and that's starting to concern me. It's got to be cutting into your family time and your sleep time. What's going on?
Hey, look, you got to fight your fights, man.
Here's the problem. This radio station has decided it needs to cut money, like everybody, everywhere. And we found out when newspapers get canceled. We find out when the mail won't be sent out.
Mm-hmm.
Our cable, our satellite.
You know how we find out?
Yeah.
Because we stop getting papers. That's how we know it.
Yeah. The satellite.
And our mail doesn't go out.
The satellite literally just says you're no longer. And we go in and we go, hey, we don't have satellite anymore. And they go, yeah, we didn't pay.
Yeah, we didn't pay that bill.
And they say it as if, like, that's normal.
Business as usual.
Yeah, we didn't pay that. Well,
what kind of company doesn't pay their bills?
I don't know. That's what I don't understand. Like, I have to pay my bills, or I don't understand how they do it that way. Like, we'll have a giant room from floor to ceiling of mail that can't be mailed because the post office won't mail it because
we're
so far
behind. That meter.
We also have stores that will no longer give us credit. We can't go buy certain things on credit because we don't pay our bills.
Yeah.
I don't know how. So the latest cost-cutting measure, though, is it's unacceptable.
It's inhuman. Look, if you have people working for your organization, those people need to void occasionally. Those people.
That's how we're describing this.
Those people need to empty the wastes from their body.
Occasionally.
Occasionally. Look, I try not to. I try to take care of my personal business at home across the board, including that arena.
As you should.
But sometimes nature calls and you must answer. And for the ladies, this problem is doubly compounded.
Yeah.
Because they use this particular product in both situations.
That's true.
But here's what I'm talking about. They have decided to change up the toilet paper that we now use in all the restrooms here at the radio station.
The toilet paper that we used to use here was really bad.
Yes.
I mean, it was just on the border of inhumane. Mm-hmm. It was just rough.
If you looked at it wrong, you would put a hole in it. That's how thin it was. I think it was no-ply. If there's the no-ply toilet paper, that's what we were using.
You could only get a square at a time because when you pulled it down,
it was bust in half.
Broke. Yeah.
Right. It took a half hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I used to have to mix it with some sort of plaster of Paris and make sort of a paper mache hand for myself in order to get my business done. It was a very complex operation, but it was reasonable.
At some point, they had a meeting where they were sitting around a table and they said, this is too good.
Yes. What's this costing us? Oh, a nickel a roll? Can you get any toilet paper for a penny a roll? Why, yes, we do have some World War II surplus Russian-issue toilet paper that they've got in a warehouse down in Long Beach that we could probably get for a song. And that's what we're using now. I believe it is just rolled tree bark. That's what they've got hanging in the bathrooms now.
You do come out with splinters. That does happen.
It has ravaged parts of me that do not need a rough surface rubbed up against them.
You don't need ravaging.
No, I don't want to be shredded. I don't want to be ravaged.
No.
Look, if I want that part of my body ravaged, I know there are bars in town where I can get that done.
There's places that you could
choose not to, and I do not like to be subjected to it simply because I've got to take care of some personal business in the restaurant.
We've been talking about this off the air in the office, and Ralph brought up a point when we were in there, which is there's got to be a bottom line to how rough toilet paper can be. Like,
I can't believe this stuff is even made.
Right,
I can't believe someone makes toilet paper of this grade. There should be some just sort of basic human decency level of toilet paper from which you cannot go below.
You go
below. There are certain standards for everything else. Drinking water, the air we breathe. This is a basic human need. The ability to clean yourself after you do your business. There should be just a basement. There should be a line for which that cannot be dipped below, because this is the minimum grade toilet paper that's acceptable for human consumption. Well, we have gone below that.
Yeah. We have gone
below, well below that.
Yeah.
I have heard producer Alex refer to this as prison paper, but from what I know about prisoners, they petition with the ACLU if there's something as inhumane as the toilet paper you're describing, and it's removed from the prisons and something nicer is put in,
compared
right?
Compared to prisons, the prisoners are wiping their butts with feathers compared to what we're putting up
It's with. Rejected prison paper.
In gulags, they don't have this kind of toilet paper. I'm telling you.
The word gulags. Come on.
Thank you very much.
Nicely done.
Abu Ghraib didn't have this level of toilet paper. Gitmo uses two-ply. That's all I'm saying.
I was going to say gulag earlier, but I thought it would confuse Kevin, so I chose not to.
How dare you?
Oh, but sure. Well, co-sign my gulag. Yeah, sure. Oh, no. I was going to do that. I was going to use that word.
I was just impressed that you went for it
this
and Kevin
toilet
got it.
Paper is the bean of toilet papers.
That's correct.
That's how I'm telling you. That's how abrasive and chafing it is.
So now, if you hear us sounding a little odd, it's because we're trying desperately to wait till we get home because we can't take what's going
to
happen.
Or we're trying desperately to stop the bleeding.
It's a torture.
Exactly. We're clenching, trying to apply pressure to some open wound.
It's a torture device.
It's horrible, and it's unacceptable.
I've got some great news for you guys, because we may have an answer here. Apparently, we have been able to locate the company that makes this prison paper. They are a company in Ohio named American Amalgamated Incorporated. And I'm frankly a little bit surprised that they would agree to come on the air, because when producer Alex called him, she had to tell him it was about the toilet paper, and they must know what's going on. So we've got Thomas Blake, a spokesperson for American Amalgamated, on the phone with us right now here on the Kevin Meade Show. Mr. Blake, thank you for coming on, sir.
Please hold. He'll be right with you.
All right.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He's a very busy man.
Sure.
Yeah.
Hello? Hello?
Hi, we're looking for Mr. Blake, please.
Yes, this is Tom Blake. How you doing?
Fantastic. We're good. Thank you.
Great. What's up?
Tom, you make you make toilet paper there in American Amalgamated, among other things, I'm sure, right?
We do make a brand of toilet paper. Is it the one you use?
Well, I don't know. Does it cause bleeding?
Oh, you're talking about Cushy Cloud.
I'm sorry, what?
Cushy Cloud. That's our brand of toilet paper.
It's not Cushy Cloud.
It is. That's the name of it. Cushy Cloud.
But it's an ironic name, then, because it really is like sandpaper.
No, our toilet paper is the highest quality.
I don't think we're talking about the same thing, then.
It is made from recycled glass bottles.
Right.
It's very green. We take the shards of glass, we press them into a fine powder,
okay,
and then we roll them into sheets. Yeah. So it's very economical, and it's also saving the planet. You know, you don't want to be green.
That is
no, it's not that at all. It's not that at all. It's just it's very painful to use. And we were wondering, aren't there some sort of standards in your industry where there has to be a certain level of softness before it's able to be sold to the public?
Oh, I'm sorry, Princess Margaret. I didn't know your hiney was so sensitive.
Look, we just
apparently the place for you where poop comes out is so special that you have to have silk and roses. Oh, my bad. I didn't realize it, Princess.
Mr. Blake,
doesn't a wind blow up up your skirt when you leave work? Doesn't that cause a problem, too?
We just want something that's not sandpaper. That's all we're asking.
Oh, my butt's so special. I need fairies and cupids to come down.
I don't think...
cleanse me with water from glaciers from Valhalla on high.
That'd be pretty cool, by the way.
I had no idea you were so sensitive. Well, but... I'll just send over a Sherpa who will bring along some magical sheep who can just rub up against your butt.
All right. All right, that's acceptable. That would be better.
Grow a pair, for God's sake.
What?
Do your business, wipe, and move on.
But you certainly have to use other brands of toilet paper, like at home or in a restaurant or something like that, and realize that they're so much better than yours.
There's no other toilet paper I would use other than the Cushy Cloud we make right here at Amalgamated.
So you use it personally?
Absolutely.
Liar.
And I will have you know that my area where that business is taken care of has never been cleaner.
Well,
it's like dermabrasion.
It is.
My
That's
butt
accurate.
Looks so young. I have stripped off so many layers of skin that I've got the butt of a 10-year-old.
But what? But what if we don't?
And if the authorities ever catch me, I'm in big trouble.
But what if we don't want to strip off layers of skin?
You don't want your butt to look young?
Well,
you want
not...
an old butt?
Well, I don't want a butt that's 10.
Really? You ever had a 10-year-old butt?
No.
Oh, no!
What kind of question is that?
No. Stop the interview. Stop the interview.
I think you said stop the interview.
Oh, okay.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. Mark Paul Gosselaar, or as Ralph calls him, MPG, along with Breckin Meyer there in Franklin and Bash on TNT. Join us next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and a diet guaranteed to help you lose weight with our friend Dr. Mo coming up in about 10 minutes. I think he's going to medically endorse the tapeworm diet. I'm excited to talk to him about it.
Yeah, I'm sure he will.
First, though, time for our favorite show of the new season, which is called Repo Games.
Yeah, this is the best because they repossess your car, but then they give you trivia questions, and if you answer 3 out of 5, you get your car back and they'll pay it off. But they find people who are not extremely smart, and they're often met with aggression. And this woman wants to get him off the property, asks her husband for a pot.
Ooh.
And starts counting to 3. By the way, the guys that do this are huge. They're monstrous guys. She starts counting to 3 on the guy like he's an 8-year-old. 1, 2, it's the best.
Get up out of here. I'm going to give you 3 seconds. Get away from my house. 3 seconds. Hey, go get me a pot. I'm not playing with you.
Go get your what?
One,
I have to do my job.
Two,
I have to do my job.
You're
gonna
come,
I have to do my job, and you're going to come outside with that? You
want to hear one.
You want to listen to me for a minute?
Two.
You want to listen to
are
me
you
for
still
a minute?
Talking? Get away from my house.
I can either take this away, or
in
I can
what?
Give you some good news.
In what
sense? You're on a game show. For a chance to win your car back.
Don't play with me.
I'm not playing with you.
Unhook it. Get my car
I'm not unhooking nothing. But I will give you a chance to win it, paid off, free and clear.
I'm not hearing it.
Will you trust me for a minute?
Not really.
If you can answer 3 trivia questions correct, I'll pay off your car. And you can put the pot down.
Okay.
You scared the hell out of me.
All right, so then she just broke and started laughing.
That's fantastic.
She was fine. I'm not hearing it.
At least this woman finally let him explain the game. Remember the one last week who wouldn't hear any of it? All she kept doing was screaming at him to get off her property.
So husband comes out, husband and wife play the game, and this question is asked. And by the way, this question is the one that decides whether they get to keep their car or not.
Okay.
So you got to get 3 out of 5. If you get 3 out of 5, they not only pay the back, you know, amount that you owe, that they'll pay it off and you have it free and clear. Here's the question. You won't believe the answer.
3 of the most profitable movies in history are about pirates from what body of water?
All right, now that's for the car.
So she's already got 2 right. This is the only one she needs to get to nail it.
How unbelievably easy is that question?
God.
Well, everyone's heard of Pirates of the Atlantic. Come on.
Only thing I think of is Pirates of the Caribbean. I don't even know if it's about pirates. I just got pirates in it.
Well, never even heard the movie.
You've never even heard of the Pirates of the Caribbean.
I don't watch them type of movies.
All right, now here's what I like. A, the guy has heard of Pirates of the Caribbean. He's not sure if it's about pirates, which is an odd statement to make. She's never heard of it. And by the way, this is one of those families where she's in charge and her little lapdog,
mm-hmm.
the husband.
Yeah.
So they go with what she wants to go with.
But how could you not hear about that?
What do you want, water?
Yes, ocean.
Pacific Ocean, Atlantic Ocean.
All right, now I just want you to listen to, with to disregard with how they answer. They don't care how they answer the question.
Go with Atlantic. That's all I can think of.
Atlantic, whatever.
The answer you're going to go with is
Atlantic.
That answer is incorrect. You guys are killing me on that one. You said the answer. The correct answer is the Caribbean.
Craig, they got that wrong. Raise it up.
Yeah, they took their car.
Oh, they should have taken their car. Where do you live that you have never once in your life heard of that movie?
He heard it.
She
had never heard it, and so she discounted her husband immediately, so she said Atlantic. Atlantic, whatever.
Jeez. How old are these people, Kevin?
I don't know. I would guess 35, 40, young.
Yeah, that's a surprise to me then, because how do you watch TV even see a magazine stand and not have heard of Pirates of the Caribbean, even if you didn't go to the movies? That's sad. I feel bad for them.
You're crazy?
I don't feel bad for them at all.
All right, what about, this is the last clip because we're running out of time. I have a bunch more, but we'll get back to them later. But this is spectacular, and I just want you to really take in what the question entails and then the answer.
What four actors were the main stars of the sitcom Seinfeld?
All right, which four actors were in Seinfeld?
Their real names.
Now that's right.
What, B?
That is a very difficult question for most people,
yeah,
by the way.
I think so,
For most people, that's very tough.
I agree. Except for the answer that she gave is unfathomable.
Their real names.
Right.
So correct. Jerry Springer.
Jerry Springer.
That's all I know. I never really watched the show.
This is for the Corvette.
I know. But
I mean, this answer.
I never watched the show.
Hey, Greg, take it up. It's ours.
Yeah, they took that one away, too.
Jerry Springer.
Jerry Springer is all she knows. The show is named Seinfeld. How do you go with Springer?
Oh,
and that's
man.
All she knows is the wrong one. It's in the answer is in the question. And she says, Jerry Springer, that's all I know. And they
Tuesday
the
nights on Spike. It is Repo Games, and it is awesome. I have been so looking forward to this. Ever since we started talking about Beer Mug yesterday here on the Kevin and Bean Show about his ridiculous diet, where some days he eats 5,000-plus calories, I've been thinking, you know, I'm not crazy like him, but, you know, I've had a little bit of a weight problem. I'd love to lose a few pounds. Who wouldn't?
And your activity level is zero.
Well, there's that, too.
Okay.
So, listeners started writing in going, hey, I know a guy. I heard from a couple people. I know a guy who had a tapeworm, ate whatever he wanted, and lost tons of weight. And I thought, it's right there in front of me. It's so easy. Why haven't I seen that? What the tapeworm, all you do is you swallow a tapeworm, you're golden, right?
Yeah, but then
you got
have
a little friend eating all your stuff,
that
right?
That seems bad, though, eating all
no,
your stuff.
No, it seems great. You have somebody who's eating all of your food.
Yeah, and other things, maybe.
Okay, so I'm on board. I think the tapeworm diet is going to be awesome. We're going to go to our medical expert, Dr. Mo, here in just a moment. But first, other listeners alerted me to one of my favorite shows, 1,000 Ways to Die, also on the Spike Channel. And they did a segment on a woman who was on the tapeworm diet. And I just want to play, I got less than a minute of tape.
Before we get to that, you think this sounds like a good idea? It was featured on 1,000 Ways to Die.
That's
right,
a
I know.
Really good
All right,
point.
Go ahead.
But I can see the fatal flaw that she made. I'm not going to make the same mistake that she made. So here's how the show begins as they talk about this woman who lives in suburban Chicago, and she was having the same problem. She wanted to lose some weight.
Darlene had a problem. She was fat.
Okay, so already I'm starting with a very sensitive portrayal of this poor woman.
Darlene had gone online and ordered tapeworm larva from Venezuela. She swallowed it, and soon enough, her little diet friend had set up shop in her small intestine and began feeding on anything Darlene ate.
Ugh.
It was a good deal. The fatter the tapeworm grew, the skinnier Darlene became.
I'm already down 4 dress sizes.
I mean, already, it's perfect. She tried every other diet imaginable.
But
the tapeworm is the first thing that
worked. Getting bigger, Bean.
Yeah.
I mean, at
some point, the bigger it is, the more it eats.
At some point, isn't that going to become a problem?
Well, let's see if it was for Darlene.
Darlene's tapeworm grew to an enormous length, over 20 feet long.
Oh!
And it was sucking the very life out of its host. But eventually, the worm turned, or reproduced.
Now, apparently, we'll ask Dr. Bo about this, but apparently when they reproduce, they then leave the stomach and start heading for other organs. And apparently maybe there's trouble there.
Until Darlene's body was completely infested with tapeworms.
Oh, gross.
Not so good, actually. She's not feeling so hot.
Okay, so she's laying on the couch, and then, well, she drops the phone, and bad things happen to her. And I love the way this episode ends with Darlene.
Darlene finally fit into a size 4 dress. Too bad she wore it at her funeral.
Yeah! Yeah!
So I think the problem was that she didn't take the tapeworm out soon enough.
Well,
she
do that? You tie a string to it so that you always have access?
I don't know. Let's bring out our medical expert, the chief of surgery at Little Company of Mary, Dr. Mo, shall we?
First of all, Dr. Drew is a real doctor. Second of all, hi, Dr.
So
Mo.
So says you.
Oh, my God. I have a theme song.
You got your own theme song.
You have a theme song.
It's not good, but you got it.
Wow.
Dr. Mo, don't try to talk me out of the tapeworm diet because I am in. I love the idea of this.
You know, okay, go ahead. Yeah, I remember about our last conversation last week, and, you know, maybe I really should take you guys up on the offer to host something. So, yeah, Bean, go ahead.
Go ahead and do it.
Oh, you're saying I should go ahead and get the tapeworm, order the tapeworm from Venezuela? Because all the best medical cures come from Venezuela,
oh,
right?
Oh, you guys...
Via the internet, yeah.
You told me about this, and I did some looking up. And really, again, it's just astonishing how stupid human beings can actually really be.
Correct.
Now,
okay, what's your problem, Dr. Mo, with the tapeworm diet? Because to me, it's a win-win.
Okay,
you get a free pet, and you lose weight.
Okay, first of all, are any of you guys eating anything right now?
No.
Good, because you're not going to want to after I'm finished.
Oh no!
Uh-oh.
But don't be too gross, because there are people eating at this time of day.
And I've just warmed them.
So. I know, but I'm saying temper what you're going to say. They can add more.
You got it. Well, the tapeworm diet is half urban legend. Where I don't really think it's as popular as people say, because usually, as most urban legends, it's, you know, I know this guy who did it,
or
I heard somebody who did it.
Right, right.
The other thing is, these tapeworm pills, there's absolutely no proof that what's in them is actually tapeworm larvae. Now, let me tell you what these tapeworm suckers do. There's beef ones and pork ones, and you've probably heard the word cystocercosis or echinococcus or something you may have heard.
Yeah, I've heard all those words.
That comes from tapeworms. And tapeworms look like, if you've seen a picture of them, some sort of freaky monster out of some sewer in a Harry Potter movie.
Yeah.
That has these suction cups and hooks and stuff. And what happens is this little head part of it gets into your intestine and sucks onto the wall. And then right behind the head of it, it grows this little like segment called the proglottid. And every time it feeds and eats, it adds a new segment, sort of like another segment of a rattle on a rattlesnake.
Oh.
Now.
Okay. What's with all the So far, it's nothing but great.
It's not great.
A minute. Bean, just hold on for one second.
Okay.
I'm going to love this part. So some of them get to be over 1,000 segments long, and as you heard, they can be up to 20 to 25 feet long. In one person.
All right.
Now, the funny thing about tapeworms is many people have no idea they have them. So technically they're asymptomatic. They don't even lose weight until there's a problem. So weight loss not only is not guaranteed, but isn't as common as some of the other things, like the boring ones are abdominal pain, nausea and weakness, maybe some diarrhea. However, you know the little segments that come on after tapeworms, those can break off, and often you find them in your stool. Now, that's not the gross part. The gross part is they move. So sometimes you don't feel them in your stool. They're crawling out of your anus.
Oh, man. Have I already heard too much? Oh, that was it right there. I'm out.
Hold on a second. I think we have an update.
So the tapeworm stuck its head out of the guy's ass and said, "Where's my damn lemon cookie?"
There you go. So that sounds like best case scenario, though, that they're leaving your body. They're not going, you know, boring into your brain or into your liver, your heart, or something like that. They're taking off.
Nope. That's the next part. The little piece by piece stuff is the least bad thing that it does. Now, the little clip that you played shows that when these things start to reproduce and they're hermaphroditic, so they're male and female, so you only need one and they can reproduce themselves.
Wow.
They will start sending larvae into your body. They'll eat through the intestine, get into your bloodstream, and set up shop in your brain or your muscles or sometimes in your eye. They have these rare infections where you literally...
What?
eye out. They get into your brain and cause seizures and strokes and stuff. They cause these.
Okay, but you're only focusing on the negatives here, Dr. Mo. Have you noticed that you're glossing right over the part where they eat all the food that you eat and you look good?
Yeah, that doesn't happen to most people. I'm just saying.
I mean, I'm with Dr. Mo, but I think you should do
downer.
It, Bean. I think you should go with your gut on this one, Bean. Don't trust the doctor.
All right, so your medical opinion on our remaining moments, Dr. Mo, is to do or to not to do the tapeworm diet?
For everybody else, do not do it.
Okay.
For Bean?
Knock yourself out.
Add news guys, a couple of lawyers in the other room getting ready to come in here.
They play lawyers. So, they're not lawyers.
Might
just the TV
trouble.
Show.
I don't know what the
just
thing is.
The
I've
TV
seen them,
something
though. Court.
Did, I'm
just
sure.
saying.
Mark, Paul Gosselaar, and Breckenmeyer are here. They're Franklin and Bash, don't you know, on TNT, and they join us coming up next on The Kevin and Bean Show. Now Ralph's got the showbiz beat. What's happening?
If that was what lawyering was really like,
yeah,
you could be
it.
A lawyer, I would so be a lawyer.
I would, too.
If you could get away with the stuff they get away with on that show. It's just hot chicks and hot tubs and cold beer and just being a nut,
breaking all the rules,
and it's like, oh, we like you because you break all the rules. Come and join this big firm. That'd be great if you actually moved up in the world just by being a total just jackhole. Be great. That's what television's for. To fulfill our fantasies.
Yep,
that'd be awesome. Before I get into showbiz news, we got to talk to these people. Caught this this story caught my eye as I was perusing the internets this morning. Have you heard about the shoe company called JoJo?
No.
And I had to do some research because I didn't buy it. And I said, this has got to be a fake story. But I looked into it, and apparently it's real.
Okay.
JoJo is a shoe store, or a shoe brand, rather, out of Belgium.
Okay.
Brussels, I believe. And they're very pro-eco.
Right.
You know, they want to cut down on their carbon footprint.
Sure.
And they want to save money also in their shipping.
Okay.
Around Europe, because apparently it's very expensive.
Right.
And they have an internet store. So they have trained carrier pigeons to deliver the sneakers to people who order them.
That's not true.
The carrier pigeon comes to your window, pecks at the window with its beak. You open it up, and there are your shoes. It's carried your shoes.
Yeah, I saw Harry Potter over the weekend, too.
I'm telling you.
Delivering the mail.
The carrier pigeons bring you your shoes.
That's not true.
But they don't have GPS. They only can go from home. That's all they can do. You drop them off somewhere, they go home.
Oh, really, Lisa?
Yeah.
Oh, expert of carrier pigeons? Turns out not the case. They can learn locations via photograph.
I'm telling you that's too good to be true.
I'm telling you it's the most awesome thing I've ever heard.
All right, I'm going to decide to accept it just because I love it so much.
I will send you a link to the video
false.
That I found when I was researching the story, and they show you how they train these pigeons.
Sweet.
They're not like homing pigeons like Lisa's talking about that only go home. These are carrier pigeons, and they actually can look at pictures of where they're supposed to go and find the location from memory.
How do they knock on the door?
Well, they give them
they
little hands.
They have little hands?
They surgically implant little hands. No, they with their beaks, they peck on your window. And that's when your shoebox is out there. They're tied to the shoebox.
You're crazy.
You untie them and you let them go.
You're crazy.
Look, I thought so too, but this happened.
Yeah, you're crazy.
All right.
What source? Where'd you get it from?
I got it from the online news source that we use here on the show. And
Shaky.
Then I went online and
okay.
I read story after story. And
what?
Then I watched the video about how they found the biggest, strongest pigeons, bred them, trained them. And I talked to, they interviewed the people who run the company.
I went
to the company's website and checked it out. And it's real. You can actually order shoes.
We have to talk to them.
We have to talk to these people.
Can they do international?
It's the greatest thing. I do not believe they go international.
Long range birds?
I think they have a limited delivery area. And
all
it's
right.
30 minutes or less. If you don't get your shoes in 30 minutes, it's free. No, that's not true.
All right, I'm in.
But isn't that awesome?
If it's real, sure.
Pigeons bring...
That seems unlikely.
Pigeons bring shoes to your house. And they show
and
one
babies.
Guy to the customer. He's like, I couldn't believe it when they actually showed up. And then he shows you the box. He goes, it does have a little poop all over it. the top of the box is just covered with bird poop.
But how much did he pay for shipping?
I don't know.
Probably nothing.
Bird feed, probably.
No.
Anyway, I thought that was fascinating.
I'm in.
So we got to talk to those people. All right, let's get to the biggest story of the day, shall we? Yesterday, it happened. Finally, many of us have been sitting in front of our computers, just sitting, staring blankly, waiting.
For what?
For Rebecca Black's new single.
For a
follow-up. Rebecca Black is back.
She's the Friday girl, of course.
She is the girl who sang Friday. Did you know Friday has 167 million hits? It has now just surpassed Justin Bieber's video as the most watched video on the internet in history.
Wow. And it was down for a while. Remember, it was actually pulled off YouTube for some time.
So this is her follow-up song. It's called My Moment. It's a new song and a new video. And I thought, well, look, we've all been waiting. Let's celebrate it. Let's play a little taste of the new Rebecca Black song, My Moment.
My one wish is about to come true. I'm not stopping for you, no matter what you do. I'll just keep on dreaming. My head up in the clouds when nobody's around to see. This is my moment, my moment. It's my time, fly high, my mind.
All right, all right. I can bear no more. I can bear no more.
Even are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
I'm going to say it's not bad enough.
That's what I just thought. As I was watching this morning, Kevin, I said, you know what? She's in big trouble because this isn't bad enough to keep her in the spotlight.
That's the only reason everybody watched that last one.
Because it was
so
awful.
Bad.
It was laughably horrible.
She stepped up her game. Now no
this
one's going to care.
This is sort of mediocre, and who's interested in that? Mediocre's boring.
Yeah.
So I think she's in big, big trouble.
I agree.
And she's still the most annoying 14-year-old on the planet. The lyrics are like, I haters, see you later. This is my moment. I'm taking it. And it's like, don't. Isn't there someone around her who can say, honey, that was a fluke. Get back into algebra class.
Is somebody else writing? Is this that same thing where they went to that ARC music?
This is an ARC. She left
it's
them.
Her own
she's
thing.
Moving on. And apparently,
she's too big for them.
The people who wrote this song have written for Justin Bieber and other
really?
People. So this is like a legitimate song.
This is one they turned down, though.
Wow.
That's the problem. It's too good. It's not good, don't get me wrong, but it's better than what she's
It's better
gave
than
us
the worst song ever.
Right, and we need her to be horrible in order to pay attention.
I think I have talent on some level.
Mm-hmm.
Nope.
Overruled.
Today on DVD, it is Tuesday, it means new releases. Limitless, starring Bradley Cooper. Which oddly enough was limited at the box office. Isn't that interesting? And Take Me Home Tonight, starring Topher Grace and Anna Faris, which I saw.
Now,
I
how was that?
I liked it a lot.
Oh, you did see it? Okay.
Yeah, I did see it. I was hosted the premiere, the red carpet premiere.
Oh, right.
There
were a lot of things about it that made me think I would like that movie,
I
but it seemed like it was out in an instant.
I think the problem was they were aiming for a younger audience, and the movie is basically an 80s comedy. So, like, older people who grew up on those movies in the 80s, I think, enjoyed it.
I
but I don't think a lot of younger people, which sort of their target audience was, were interested, really, in seeing that movie.
Makes sense.
But it's not like a spoof of 80s movies. It's as if this is a movie we haven't seen from the 80s, like it was in a time capsule or something. But very entertaining. Great soundtrack. And our home radio station here, K-Rock, is all over it. One of the characters wears a K-Rock t-shirt the whole time in the movie. It's wild.
Odd.
You can check that out today as well. Today's celebrity birthdays, guitarist Brian May of Queen is 64 years old today. Anthony Edwards from ER turns 49. WBC heavyweight champion Vitaly Iron Fist Klitschko is 40 years old today. I'm sorry, Dr. Iron Fist. Did
sure.
I say Dr. Iron Fist?
Yeah. You didn't.
He literally has a doctorate, by the way.
Is that true?
Yes.
That's why they part of his nickname.
That's why they call him Dr. Iron Fist, because he's got a doctorate.
In iron fisting?
In iron fisting, yes.
Is he the one who was for a while dating Hayden Panettiere also?
I think it was.
Or was that his brother?
Was it Vladimir or was it Vitaly?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
They're all the same.
They're interchangeable, those two Klitschkos.
Yeah.
Jason McGurr of Death Cab for Cutie. He's 37 years old. And Jared Padalecki. You know him from Supernatural. He's 29 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I'll walk the showbiz beat.
I'm no expert, but I think our guests are very much in love, Kevin. Are you getting that vibe right now?
I am. Sure.
You mean with each other?
Yes, with each other. They're a very happy couple. Mark Paul Gosselaar and Breckin Meyer join us in studio, ladies and gentlemen. They are Franklin and Bash, don't you know? Wednesday nights at 9 on TNT. Welcome back to both of you.
Thank you, man.
Would you guys consider yourselves a couple, first of all?
Certain days?
I would.
You would?
I would. Mark Paul is aloof, but I would.
Sometimes I feel fat, Breckin.
It's hard when one of you really wants to move on, the other one isn't quite ready.
It is hard.
You know, that's very difficult.
Ralph has been so excited about Franklin and Bash because he is even a bigger fan of you guys than we are. We could take your leave here, frankly, but Ralph just loves you guys.
How dare you?
You sound so much like my parents right now.
And he's just been raving about this season. And I guess, you know, I guess you're getting the same response from, you know, from the airings on TNT. I mean, it seems like the response has been totally positive on this show, and you don't see that very often on new programs.
Yeah, people have been really nice about it. It's pretty great, actually. People have people seem to like it.
Would like that second season.
When do you find that out?
Oh, man, I don't know.
Nobody knows?
There's an excuse after an excuse. It's like, just pick us up.
Here's the weird thing is that we talk to actors and actresses all the time, and they find out secondhand from a person who read a Twitter that somebody else... Like, they never get a call like you would expect show business works.
No, and there's little hints and...
It's little morsels.
Yeah.
Ralph said a great when he was in here last hour, which was that you guys play lawyers on a show where if that's what it was like to be a lawyer, I would do it.
Yeah.
Because that's not what it's like to be a lawyer at all.
They seem to have a good time. I mean, they're like kind of youngish single guys who have paychecks coming in.
Yeah,
which is rare.
You don't follow any of the rules in court, and the judges all get mad at you, and one of you or the other gets thrown in jail half the time.
Tends to be me.
But I think our characters do follow the rules in court. We just find the loopholes.
Yeah, and exactly.
If you were a lawyer, I guess you could do that and see if it lands you in jail. Like, his character's been held in contempt for a while. Actually,
what kind of reaction do you get from real lawyers? What do they tell you when you talk to them?
We wish we had the balls to do that kind of thing in court.
In the first episode, I think it was the first episode, when you had the woman take off her top.
Yeah.
Because it was distracting and all the jurors. And I mean, you do wish, like, if that was me in court, I would want to do that.
And it's funny because we've heard from certain attorneys that now with all the shows like Boston Legal, Ally McBeal, Franklin and Bash, that the juries are actually looking for them to be dramatic. Like, they want more drama. They want to see, like, I want you to pull the wool over my eyes and shock me in the end and give me a long speech. And
they
want to
see a movie.
They absolutely want to see a movie. And the more dramatic, I mean, that's why, like, Johnny Cochran.
Yeah.
Like, he had a flair
for
it. And
he did.
It worked.
He put on a show.
And apparently, the guy he represented got off. I'm not following the news now, but apparently
it's an older story, but he did. Yes, that's correct.
Yeah.
Although we'd rather you phrased it a different way, if you don't mind.
I like phrasing it.
He was acquitted. Acquitted is what you mean.
No, he was acquitted, but then he got off.
That's true.
Yeah.
You are absolutely right, by the way, and I've seen this in lots of news stories where they say that juries have been changed by what they see in legal shows, and also CSI has done more to affect juries in terms of the amount of and the kinds of evidence that they expect now to see in a trial. And the vast majority of trials don't have anything as crazy or as elaborate as the CSI team working on them.
People are
disappointed, and people, you know, sometimes they're really at odds with it. But that's interesting.
Yeah,
that's
they don't understand why it takes 6 weeks and not 6 minutes to get the DNA samples and everything.
Yeah, like, that doesn't make sense.
On that show, how come it's not all cool and green looking in here?
But our co-creator and our head writer has said that if you learn anything legal about this or about the legal system on our show, we haven't done our job.
You failed.
We failed.
Yeah,
that's not what the show is about.
It's a fun show. It's an entertaining show.
Yeah, the sort of law side is just the catalyst to look inside.
That's the fun of it. The law side of it is just not important. It's just a car that you guys are in, and so we can watch you guys. That's all.
Yeah.
How did you guys get interested in this project, both of you together? Like, did they approach you both? Did they approach one of you? And what was their pitch?
Well, for me, it was three words: Breckenmeyer,
which is two.
That's two words, but
Brecken.
Okay,
yeah, sorry, you're right.
All right, Breckenmeyer.
Yeah.
How about you,
Breckenmeyer? Which is actually three.
How many words.
Words
is that?
Two. No, Mark Paul was actually involved with it when I got the script already. He and he read with me and two other guys for the role of
Franklin. I did.
He did. Both of them were killed in car accidents on the way home, so
that's
ended up
nice.
With the gig. And I just thought, I mean, Kevin Falls, our other co-creator, has written on Sports Night and West Wing, and I just thought the show was really fun. When I read it, I was like, this is really fun. If you buy this relationship, Mark Paul and I, then I think the show could be fun.
That is the fun of it, is the relationship between you two. And the last episode, I think it was the last episode, you were...
The long-awaited Franklin versus Bash.
More importantly, it was the pole dancing class instructors.
It was also the pole dancing.
Not to downplay
your
relationship, but that was all about the strippers.
I see your priorities.
Come on, let's be honest. Okay.
Yeah.
Have you guys developed any kind of radar as actors who have both done dozens and dozens of things about what's going to work and what's not?
No.
That was quick.
Didn't even take a
beat.
That
was a quick answer.
That was. But I mean, I would imagine that would be one of the most frustrating things, because you could be going and knowing and certainly feeling, believing that you're doing good work and that the show is good and it might not work. Or you could be on something or in a movie that you think is terrible that could end up being a huge hit. I mean, there's almost no way to predict, is there?
Yeah, there's no way to predict, really. And then you don't want to get too close to a project. Like, filming this project, we were in Atlanta. We filmed the pilot in Atlanta. We were together a lot for 2.5 weeks.
Sounds like too much.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was
for him. It was too much. For me, it was just right.
Oh, that's sweet.
But we had such a great time, and we were thinking, God, I really want the show to go. But then you don't want to get too close to something, because what if it doesn't
go? Get too excited about it, then you're depressed.
And then with this right now, we're waiting to see if we get picked up for the second season. There's nothing that we'd want more than to get picked up for a second season on this show.
Is there a time frame? Is it supposed to be right about now?
I think we'd find out within the next couple of weeks, just because of production schedules, about when we'd have to start up again. And Mark Paul would have to start working out again. Other than that, he has let himself go. He's really let himself go.
Have you guys?
He's Celebrity Biggest Loser right before we go back into production.
Have you guys ever worked on anything together before?
No, we'd never met really before.
Really? Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah, nothing that you know of.
Yeah, we had never really met. I actually filmed a makeshift pilot presentation on the set of Saved by the Bell about 18 years ago, and that was the closest I think we ever got to working together. But he was on lunch, so I couldn't even meet him.
He was strangely unavailable.
Yeah, he was oddly unavailable.
I was working out.
Yeah, exactly.
We need to take a break. Franklin and Bash is the show. It's on Wednesday nights at 9 on TNT. Mark Paul Gosselaar and Breckenmeyer are here, and we will...
Franklin and Bash in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. That's the name of the show they star in on TNT. It's actor Mark Paul Gosselaar and Breckenmeyer in studio. Hey, boys, you still with us?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. Okay. Hey, this might be a good segue opportunity since we're playing Rage there. Brecken, how did you ended up being friends with those guys and actually drumming for the Night Watchman? How'd that whole deal come down?
I had met Tom. His lady did the music for the soundtrack of a movie I did called Go. And she was a music supervisor who did the soundtrack for Go. And I met Tom.
Oh,
that
was such a good soundtrack.
Yes, that was a very good soundtrack. And so then I met Tom, and we just started goofing off at, like, he'd have shindigs at his house, and we'd end up in his jam room goofing off. And he has some pretty heavy-hitting friends, and so you'd be in the jam room with, you know, Navarro and Flea and stuff like that, and luckily there was no one to get behind the kit, so I would, or no one sober enough to get behind the kit.
Did you look around and go, when are they going to notice I'm not the guy that should be here?
Every single time I've played with Tom, I've looked around and be like, they know I'm the guy from Garfield, right? Like, they're very aware of the guy from Road Trip can't keep time. But, yeah, it's been pretty awesome.
Yeah.
It's pretty
that
cool
just must be, that must be crazy to be in those rooms and looking up there and seeing who you're backing. That's hilarious.
The first ticket I ever bought, like, with my own money for a concert was Jane's Addiction at the John Anson Ford in L.A. And then there was a point in New York at Club Nokia playing with Tom, and I was counting us off to play Mountain Song with Perry Farrell and Slash on guitar.
What is happening?
I was like, I can stop now. I can retire.
We were just talking about the L.A. Rising show, which is coming up with Rage Against the Machine, and you're going to be on stage playing drums there as well?
Not a shot in hell. All right. I'll be on stage.
Just checking.
There would have to be like 98 drummers killed before I even got the call to get sticks.
You wouldn't get picked.
I wouldn't get picked. I just have to show up with sticks for every other guy.
Right, sure.
Yeah.
Franklin and Bash is Wednesday nights at 9 on TNT. How many episodes are left in season one, guys?
I think we have 3 more left to air, I believe. Mm-hmm. There's this one where we are under house arrest, so we have to stay in our man cave.
Sweet.
And then next week is...
Vanderbeek.
Next week, Dawson? Yeah, yeah, next week is Vanderbeek.
All right.
He and Mark Paul go in
Vanderweek.
They cage fight. It's going to be Vanderweek next week. And then, finale. And the finale where we finally make love.
Here's what I like is that you two play loosely with the rules, but I'll tell you...
with each other.
Malcolm McDowell is great.
He's awesome.
And he plays the old
really old.
Really,
really old.
Like super...
super
like
old.
100 years old.
Older than that. Yeah, he's Yoda.
And he runs the law firm, and he gets a kick out of you guys. He hires you, and he gets a kick out of you guys. He thinks it's funny. You guys are... I have a clip here where you're throwing darts to figure out if you're going to take a case or not, I think.
Yes.
Throwing darts.
That happens.
And he walks in while you're having that conversation.
Are you just afraid of doing a little jail time?
Dude, look at me. I'm a walking dessert cart.
I'm sorry. You're going to have to take a dive is the thing. You're going to have to... So that it's not going to go well for you in court.
What are you talking about? I'm the cute one. Come on. I hit the bullseye. We do society a favor.
Say it out loud. We take a dive.
I hit anywhere else. We represent our client properly. Come on. The chances of me hitting that bullseye are very, very low. So what do you say?
Go for it.
That's
we were joking.
Yeah, we're big into hypotheticals.
I said go for it.
So you throw it over your shoulder and it hits the bullseye.
And oddly enough, it hits the bullseye.
What are the chances?
Yeah. That's the thing about Franklin and Bell. What are the chances?
Well, here's what I like. It's a law show that involves very little law and a lot of TNA.
Yes.
I mean, really, that's pretty...
What you've said is true.
Correct.
Yeah.
No, I looked at Mark Paul, and he was a little shaky on that.
Well, it's mainly his TNA.
Well, that's what I was thinking. Sorry, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
I'm attracted to him. That's all I'm saying. That was my point.
Well, who is it? To the left.
Come on. All right. Well, we got our fingers crossed for it because you're obviously having a great time doing the show, and I hope you do get the call you're looking for, and it comes on back for another
Hey, people at TNT, how about calling them today? Let's get this going.
You know what? Let's do it exclusive. TNT, call into K-Rock.
That's right.
Let's call them.
We'll make it happen.
I have their number.
I'm sure that'll work.
Yeah, that'll totally work. We should do it.
That couldn't backfire.
Guys, Wednesday nights at 9 on TNT. I was going to say the same thing you were, which is thanks for coming in, guys. Great to see you again.
Thank you.
I like that song more every single time I hear it.
Me too.
It is brand new music from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. The album comes out the end of August. And by the way, I can say no more, so don't ask me, but I think we may have something special planned for Red Hot Chili Peppers fans here on the Kevin and Bean Show. I can't say.
What is it?
Let's turn our attention to a story that appeared on TMZ.com earlier in the week. And this is, you know, you see stories up there, and most of them you go, eh, I believe that. And then some of them you go, oh, I absolutely believe that. And every once in a while a story comes along that seems so fantastical that there's no way it's true. And that's kind of where I am on this one. It seems so unlikely that Shaquille O'Neal, of course, now retired, was with won a championship with the Lakers, won one with the Heat, played for a bunch of other teams. And as a cop, you know, when he's not on the court, he's, you know, helping out with the police department, has this huge criminal background and this was living this life of crime where he was ordering hits and ordering people to be killed. What's up with that?
He has a pal named, a former pal named Robert Ross, and Robert Ross has filed a lawsuit. And this is where TMZ got all of the information from, is this guy's allegations.
Okay.
And he says that while he was his friend, Shaquille would ask him to kill people. And to break the arms of NBA players and stuff like that. And then in 2008, Shaq tried to have him kidnapped by gang members and all this other stuff. Like things went south with their friendship and now he was the target.
That sounds insane.
Yeah, it does. And you think about it, your gut reaction is no. There's just no way.
What are the chances, honestly, what percentage, Lisa, for instance, do you think Shaquille O'Neal ordered this guy to kill somebody?
Like 5%?
Yeah.
Maybe, right?
Maybe he was joking.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, who knows if their friendship went bad, what kind of axe he has to grind, or if he just sees Shaq as the opportunity to make some money somehow off of this. I don't know. But we wanted to find out more about it, so we did ask producer Alex to line up for us a future Hall of Famer in the NBA, ladies and gentlemen, the great Shaquille O'Neal, joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Shaq.
Hey, Ken. How are you doing?
We're good. How are you today?
No good.
No good.
No, no good.
No good?
I'm doing good.
You're doing good. Okay. Yeah. Doing good. Okay.
What?
You know, I don't speak English.
Oh, don't we speak English? No, I don't, as a matter of fact. That's correct.
We haven't spoken to you for a while. First off, how are you enjoying retirement?
Oh, it's good. I'm going to and I'm going to basketball on TNT.
You're going to be an announcer for basketball on TNT?
Yeah.
Wow, I speak Shaq.
Oh, that's right. You're going to be in the booth with Charles Barkley.
Yeah. Round Mound of Rebound.
That's him. Yeah.
That's
his nickname, right? Now, what about this?
By the way,
go ahead, B.
I'm just thinking, as we're listening to Shaq and having difficulty deciphering him, is he the best choice to put on television as a commentator?
Yeah, because I don't know enough about football. And now I'm going basketball in the modern version.
Right. Now, did you know this guy, this Robert Ross? You did?
Yeah.
That's a yes.
Oh, no, Robert Ross. I know I can't believe it's lies, he said.
Lies, okay. Yeah. So all of these allegations are coming from him. He says you were trying to have people killed.
That's right. That's crazy talk.
Crazy talk, right?
Yeah, that's right.
You wanted him to break the arm, the shooting arm of another NBA player?
Oh, come on, man. Come on. Why would he say that?
Right.
Why would he say that?
Why would he say that? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't need you.
What was that?
What was that, Shaq?
It was a gunshot.
The kitchen timer.
It was not a kitchen.
There it is again. That's clearly a gunshot.
No, that's the dryer. I got a problem with those.
The dryer sounds just like it backfires.
Yeah,
it sounds just like the kitchen timer.
Yeah,
that's weird.
That's weird, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's all weird.
This former friend of yours also says that you issued an order to kill a woman that you had impregnated.
No, and, that's crazy.
And that's not true either.
No, that's crazy talk. I know.
What was that?
That was
What was that exactly?
Mailman.
It's a mailman. Yeah. I see.
That's it.
But were you throwing a knife? Did I hear a knife hitting the...
No, that'd be crazy. That's crazy talk.
So you threw a knife.
Well, no.
Oh, that's another knife.
Why not kill people? That's crazy talk.
It is crazy. You also, according to this man, Robert Ross, ex-gang member, former friend, says you ordered him to kill a renowned record producer as well.
No, that's crazy talk. I wouldn't have,
not true either.
If I want to kill somebody, I wouldn't even think about that because I love everybody.
You love everybody?
I don't want to kill nobody.
Okay. Is that a whip?
No, that's my cat.
What's going on there?
That's my cat.
How is your cat making that noise?
He's got a very long tail.
It does sound like you're calling us from a chamber of horrors.
No,
Jack.
That's crazy talk.
Remember the movie Hostel?
I got another love in my heart for everybody.
Seems like Shaq's running one of those.
And if anybody crosses me or does me wrong, I just forgive them. That's the Lord's
way. You forgive?
Way. Yeah, it's the
you
Lord's
forgive
way.
Them. Sure.
I forgive because that's what the Lord's way turn the other cheek.
Turn the other cheek, right. What's that?
I don't know. Omar, what's that one?
It's a snake.
It's a snake.
That was a snake? Can we hear the snake again? That's not a snake.
No. It sounds like a roulette wheel.
It sounds like a weed whacker.
I think we need to upgrade our sound effects.
All right, let's move on to the next one.
Okay. Yeah, chainsaw.
Hey, what do you do with a chainsaw, Shaq?
Oh, yeah, chainsaw.
Shaq.
No, it's not chainsaw. It's my alarm clock.
It's your alarm clock.
Yeah.
It sounds very much like a chainsaw.
No, it's time for me to go get up.
Are you already up?
Yeah.
It seems like for somebody who doesn't want to hurt anybody, you have an awful lot of implements of torture at your disposal.
You're still trying to go with a bit. That's very impressive.
Ralph is here with another look at the Showbiz Beat on the Kevin and Bean Show. And you got more great stuff to give away today, right, Ralph?
Yes. I guess I should do that now.
You don't have to.
You can
have
do it next hour. Thanks. You don't have to whenever you want. I'm just saying, saying it's a big week. Big week for you with all the giveaways. Doesn't have to be now.
Bean enjoys forcing your hand.
Sure does.
Not at all.
I think he does.
Hey, what's going on down there at the table?
He is trying to help, I think, but sometimes it's not helpful.
Help is good when it's helping.
In an hour, Ralph has some really good tickets.
I'll be back with tickets for Cowboys and Aliens, but not now. Right now, I got a bigger fish to fry.
All right.
I've got important things to talk about. Because it's Tuesday, that means it's new release day. Here's your CDs and DVDs that are available, brand spanking new for you, in case you missed these things in the movie theaters or you missed hearing your favorite musical artists. Here's your chance to catch up. Universal Pulse by 311. 311 has a new disc out. How about that?
Fantastic.
Time of My Life by Three Doors Down. Three Doors Down.
Yeah.
Huge.
Yeah. Huge. Bad Religion, not so huge.
Join Us by They Might Be Giants. Those guys are still making records. God bless them.
Wow. They might be giants.
Those quirky giant guys.
I don't know if they're still alive.
I think they might be giants, and the Bare Naked Ladies should have like a quirk off. Who could be more quirky? Because they are two quirky bands, is what I'm saying.
They are quirky.
New DVDs today. Take Me Home Tonight, starring Topher Grace and Anna Faris. I enjoyed that movie enormously. I recommend it highly in your Netflix queue, or you want to pick it up from Amazon. And speaking of which, you know, the Amazons and the stuff like that. Sad news, I guess, today. Borders Books and Music Stores are closing. One of them. Every single one of them. They're all going away. The brick and mortar book and record store, my friends, is a thing of the past.
I never sure is. I don't, you know, I can't. I don't read.
No.
So I don't care.
No.
But when you do, when a book comes out that catches your attention, you certainly don't go to a bookstore
to physically
buy it. You just go online and buy it. That's what people do.
However, I was always a big fan of the browse.
Me too.
If I was out and about and I had like an appointment or something, I had some time to kill, I would
the eyebrows?
Love, no. To browse.
To old browse a bookstore.
The verb browse.
That's no fun.
It is fun. I would go in to kill some time. I could spend a half an hour just looking at the books on the shelves and looking at stuff and everything. You just browse.
That sounds horrible.
No, it doesn't. You go to Barnes & Noble or something? And you look around, you look at the calendar section, and you look at all the books they have, the big coffee table books and everything.
You know what I have instead of that?
Fascinating.
Friends.
It's like a kid, and I'm saying if you're out and about, you got some time to kill, what do you do?
I can kill 45 seconds like that. I'm out.
Oh, God. What's
are
wrong
you serious, Kevin, or are you just playing?
No. What's fun about it? You're not,
Because you go into a bookstore, you might buy, but you'll see something that in a million years you never would have even known existed until you came across it on that table because you were browsing. And you go, wow, I'm so glad I found this. This is awesome.
A coffee table book on the films of Steve McQueen, for example, was something I found once. I didn't even know existed. I was like, oh, I love Steve McQueen movies. This is like all behind-the-scenes photos
of
his career.
Might as well be speaking German.
How can you not?
not be interested by anything.
I'm just not. What do you want me to do? I am. Books. Bean's right. If I want a book, I get it from iTunes.
Yeah, but you have to hear about that book somehow in order to order it from iTunes or from Amazon.com.
Right.
If you expose yourself to a lot of books you're not aware of, you might find something that you love in
there. Do I strike you as the kind of person that exposes myself to stuff that is outside of my...
You strike me the kind of person that exposes himself, yes, but not to things of culture.
Move on. I'm sure a lot of people are sad. I'm sorry for all of you. What do you want from me?
You don't even have the attention to finish this conversation.
I said,
that's how ADD you are.
I know. I'm having problems.
All right.
Now, Ralph, I have to ask, because I know that they were trying to reorganize the bankruptcy and they failed, but are they just is it going to be a sell-off? Like every store, it's like everything's going to be 50%, 70%, 90% off until they get rid of all those books?
Not interested. I'm not familiar with how they're going to liquidate their inventory. I'm not familiar
I just
with
see
that
an
plan.
Opportunity for value. That's why I ask.
No, we know you love a value.
I do.
Yes. You love a value the way Kevin likes ignoring all things.
You know what it reminds me of? I'm thinking of it. It reminds me a little of a waste of time.
All right, Kevin, we'll move on. And Limitless, starring Bradley Cooper, that is available on DVD today in case you missed it in the theaters. And you may have missed the companion film, the sequel, starring our own Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show.
Dude, we don't have time for that.
Could it be more appropriate to play this trailer for Kevin's movie than now? Limitless, of course, starred Bradley Cooper. Kevin was in a similarly named but very different film.
Scientists say we only use 10% of our brains.
Now, I forgot what I was going to ask.
But what if you could take a pill?
That was the grouping of the most meaningless words I've ever heard in my life. That was more words that meant less.
And use even less. Kevin Ryder stars in Limited.
Is that, so he doesn't, are you a regular duck fan? Will you watch all the time him?
What if you could take a pill and never be burdened by having to use your brain again?
Now, he's not going to want to spend much time with all those other boys in their room come pretty here a couple years.
If ignorance is bliss, he's the happiest man in the world.
The sum of the parts is greater than all of the sum of the,
Kevin Ryder is Limited.
We've got to get to the bottom of what in the hell is going on with this Blue Man group. These guys, they paint their faces red.
Kevin Ryder in Limited, coming to theaters near you.
Can I ask you a question that you can't answer? Answer?
So you've had, would you say, a limited vocabulary due to not a great education?
Correct.
Yeah.
I got a degree, man.
That was my favorite movie of the year, Limited, by the way.
I want to see that again.
Your work was
excellent. You guys live it every day. Why would you want to see it?
Getting that on DVD and Blu-ray. I'm going to put it on two different players at the same time so I can just be bombarded with that. That's how much I love it. Also available, Melrose Place, the sixth season. They're finally getting around to releasing that on DVD.
Now that it's hot.
You can pick that up. Today's celebrity birthday is guitarist Brian May of the legendary band Queen. He is 64 years old today. Actor Anthony Edwards. I guess you probably know him from ER, but he's been in a lot of feature films, too, including The Sure Thing. You ever see The Sure Thing with John Cusack? Oh,
sure.
I love that movie. Rob Reiner directed that. Good film. 49 years old today. WBC heavyweight champion Vitaly Dr. Iron Fist Klitschko. Celebrates his 40th. I'm sorry.
What?
What was that?
Nothing.
He is 40 years old today. Jason McGurr of Death Cab for Cutie is 37. And Jared Padalecki from the WBs. That's not the WB anymore, is it? It's the C-Dub.
Yes.
The C-Dub over there, their Supernatural show. He is 29 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
By the by, a quick reminder. And by the by, I hate that expression, by the by.
I don't even understand it.
And yet you used
what
it.
What does by the by mean?
It's just something that people say that they regret immediately afterwards.
We're
going to be broadcasting live from Comic-Con in San Diego this Friday. Wanted to give you a reminder, if you are not going to be in San Diego and you want to hear all the Comic-Con action, we're going to be doing the show live. And if you are down there, stop by the Wired Lounge inside the Omni Hotel. That's going to be Friday morning's Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is going to be down there on Thursday. He'll have a bunch of guests for the Comic-Con as well. So good stuff. Right now, though, how about our old friend Adam Carolla from AdamCarolla.com? Of course, he's got the live podcast shows coming up in Palm Springs, Irvine, Las Vegas, and Thousand Oaks. And Ace Man, I saw on your Twitter last night that you are in the middle of writing a second book. What's this one going to be about?
This is just a collection of all the stories, just all the crazy stories, all the Tijuana trips, childhood, and all that kind of stuff. It's actually kind of interesting because I was trying to figure out how to break it down into chapters, like what stories, what years, and I'm just going to go through houses I lived in.
Okay.
So it starts off with the house I grew up in, all the stories from there, and then it's into the first apartment, and then it's just into the slew of rundown places we rented, all the way up into, you know, me and Ralph's place back in the 90s.
Now, do your friends, Ralph included, need to be worried about some of the stuff that's going in the book?
Well, first off, Ralph, he's not making a run at the Senate, is he?
No.
I understand he's a sick puppy, right?
Yeah, there's very little you could say that would damage Ralph's reputation at this point.
No, no, there isn't. Oh, and speaking of that weirdness, I was in Atlantic City at the Borgato on Saturday night. Leno was playing above me. He said, come by and say hi. I walked into his dressing room, and Jim Norton's elderly parents were there shaking hands with Mr. Leno and taking pictures. And Jim Norton's a comedian whose pretty much entire act is being, you know, defecated on by strippers and things like that. It's weird when you meet his nice parents that are still together for 47 years.
That are nothing like that.
And you can't think, you can't help it. And the dad looks exactly like the son, but his son, last I spoke to him, had a ball gag in his mouth, being urinated on, and paying the person. Like, you wonder, and we want to go, do you know? Have you heard? Do you see? How's it work?
Well, I'm very excited. The book sounds great. And I know that some of those Tijuana stories you promised you would never tell until Kimmel is dead. But you're gonna do what you need to do to get the thing edited properly, right?
Sell books. Yeah. Oh. And Sugar Ray Leonard molested me. That's all I want to say.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'll look forward to buying the book.
There early.
AdamCarolla.com is where you want to get all the information on the Ace Broadcasting Empire. Right now, though, here on the Kevin DeBean Show, it's time for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Well, starting with three and working my way down to number one. First, I got a car show that's out Wednesday nights on Speed, and my mom saw it. And called me yesterday and decided to give me what Albert Brooks has coined is the complisult, which is the compliment that's followed with the insult.
Uh-oh.
And I would say this for anyone who's being complimented. Everything starts, my husband is a huge fan of the Man Show. And then it then devolves into not so much for me.
Right.
All right. So my point is when somebody says, hey, did you get a haircut? It looks great. Either run holding your ears and screaming or just punch them in the face so they can no longer say another syllable.
Because whatever's next is an insult.
It's never good.
Right.
And I don't know what is this hard wiring? Do you know what I mean? Like my mom she calls up, I watched a show with your stepfather. We enjoyed it. You know, I'm not a fan of car shows. Okay, we get it, bitch. You don't like the genre. But I always say to people, like, how tough would it be just to go, hey, Doug, the show, good work. Anyway, what's for dinner? You know what I mean?
Oh, so just fake it. You don't have to be honest about not liking car shows.
How many times have you complimented someone and been sincere? I mean, really? Is it less than 10%?
Well, I will tell you this, that every single time Bean and I get a compliment, we know that there is the backside. There's the front side of the hand and then the back side of the hand.
Are we wired to insult people and then insult them on the way out?
I think it's nicer. I think you set them up by letting them know that in general you like certain things, but... And then they have to hit you with whatever.
I had a woman wanting to pose for a picture with me on Hollywood Boulevard because her husband was a huge fan of the Man Show. And after about 25 of her, not my cup of tea, I must be out of your demo, I know it's not aimed at the ladies, I'm not a misogynist, I actually said to her, hey, you know what? No picture. And she was like, what? Why? And I said, screw you. And I walked away. It really, I mean, it's like her friend was trying to get trying to get it out of the case and trying to get the thing started and everything. And she got in about 12 insults in that time.
It is weird that she feels the need to make sure you understand she doesn't like it. Why?
My arm is around her I have a painted on smile for a dumb friend with the fanny pack.
Right.
Exactly. Jesus Christ, people. Give a compliment and then just stifle yourself.
Just put a period at the end of the compliment and just let it lay.
Walk away.
All right.
Walk away.
I like it.
All right. Flew a little Air Canada. I realize they're geniuses over there because they do the spiel where you can't smoke on the flight, except for their spiel consists of this is a non-smoking flight. And right. then they move on. We have to go, this is a non-smoking flight, and then go on to explain for 20 minutes why you can't smoke.
Yeah.
Any tampering with, disabling, or destroying the smoke detector in the lavatory bathroom will be met with. It's like, nope, they just go, no smoking. If you can't do the math on that, we'll throw you out at 33,000 feet.
I like
recharge.
It. Simplify it.
Yeah, it's pretty straightforward. Evidently, they don't have as many lawyers over there.
Yeah.
And once you say non-smoking flight, you tell me how you're going to get around this.
Are there any smoking flights anymore?
Not domestic.
That's what I
want
to know.
US
like, are my kids going to be in their 70s and have to have the right. conversation about the placard? When, by the way, cigarettes have been outlawed for 22 years. You'll actually have to go to prison to get cigarettes.
I think the reason they still do it in the United States, Ace, is that there are people who rarely, if ever, fly and that may be new to them. And then there are also a lot of people from around the world who live in countries where smoking is still allowed and it may be news to them that not everyone's like that.
I say we take 1 year and we don't use it and see how many people light up on a plane. And when the answer is zero on domestic flights, then we move on with our lives.
Cancel that waste of time.
You.
All right.
Tampering with, disabling, or destroying. Just say tampering with anyway. All right. And number one, took us about an hour and a half to get through customs over at in Canada on the way in and on the way back. And part of the problem was the same thing I ran into when I was going up to the Universal City Walk with the wagon train of cars trying to get up the hill, which is 34 custom booths, 9 of them actually open and functioning.
Yeah.
And there's nothing, the only thing worse than waiting in that line is staring at all the dark booths with nobody in them. Like when you're at the bank and there's a huge line and there's 18 openings and 3 tellers. Or the parking lot where there's 2 guys at a booth but they could have 11 guys letting you. What is that? And it's goddamn torture. I didn't mind waiting in line. I mind staring at the empty, vacated booths where there could have been some government stooge moving this goddamn thing along. And I don't know if what you have to do, but there should be some rule that says you decide in advance how many tellers, how many booths, how many parking lot guys. You decide in advance, and you can never go under 50%.
And if there's a long line, you must fill it up. Everybody has to come into work and work in one of those booths.
Forget about coming to work. I want civilians deputized.
I got you. All right.
Like, I just want to go, hey, you. Yeah. What do you know about customs? Come on. Come here. You can pick out Al-Qaeda, can't you?
I know we always say this, but every week I'm reminded of how much more smoothly the world would run if only Adam Carolla were in charge. You got to start running for office or something, Ace.
That'd be awesome, wouldn't it?
Adam, I love the Week in Rage, too, but it was a little long.
The Palm Springs Ace Hotel is where Adam's going to be on Thursday night. This Sunday, don't miss this live show at the Irvine Improv. Then in August, Las Vegas and Thousand Oaks. All the details and all the podcasts from AdamCarolla.com. Ace Man, have a great week. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks.
Tuesday on the Kevin and Bean Show, Emmanuel Shrieky, by the way, from Entourage on the program tomorrow.
Hello.
What about that?
Nice.
Correct.
I love her so much. And Dimitri Martin will be here too, plus Dr. Drew. All right, so I'm on a plane a couple of weeks ago, and I'm smoking up a storm like I do because no one told me not to smoke, and I think that's an announcement that should be made.
Correct.
That was just for Adam's benefit. And the strangest thing happened. I'm sitting there, and the doors are closed, and they come on and they say the cabin is secure, and we're getting ready to push back, and we're getting ready to take off on this flight, right? And this is just like something out of a movie. A woman who's sitting in the row behind me jumps up, takes off her seatbelt, jumps up, and runs up to the cockpit. And I see her talking to the flight attendant up there. And the flight attendant's nodding her head. And then she picks up the little radio that goes into the terminal. And she says, we have a passenger here who would like to deplane. And I'm thinking, this is awfully strange that somebody sits there for the whole time the plane is loading. And then once they close the doors and get ready to push back, now she's got to leave the plane?
She was freaking out?
Well, she didn't look like she was freaking out. I mean, she did move pretty quick, but I couldn't tell that, there was any kind of, particular problem that was going on. And sure enough, they came and they opened up the doors again and they let her off the plane.
Wow.
Now, I was very surprised that they would open up the doors once they were secured. I thought they'd just take off with her, but maybe they just feel like at this point, if you've got a panicked passenger, for instance, the last thing you want is have them on the plane in the air. What was really strange about it is she left her kid behind, her son, who was sitting next to her in the next seat, and all of her carry-on luggage. She didn't take any of that with her. So then the flight attendants came back and helped the boy get going and picked up all of her stuff and then left the plane. So I was very curious about why that happened. And I'm also very curious that there were other people on the plane who didn't go, hey, that woman left the plane. There must be some reason she left the plane. I'm going to leave the plane, too.
Did that thought enter your mind?
Didn't enter my mind. Okay. No.
Maybe this is a sign. Maybe we should all get off.
But I was a little bit surprised that nobody thought, you know, maybe she came on and left something on the plane, or maybe she had some sort of advance information. Now the plane's not safe. I was surprised that one person out of 400 didn't follow her lead. But she left, and then they got her kid off. And then, of course, they came on and said, well, I'm sorry, now there's going to be a delay because we've got to go in and remove her luggage from the plane.
Yeah, right. I wouldn't want to get off with her. I just want to punch her in the face.
Well, sure. No, but the premonition is what we're talking about. Right. Is that you get a feeling. Like, I was in Cabo, and it was at night, and we were going to get on a flight, and we saw a guy down there with a flashlight looking on the underneath of the plane, you know? And I thought, oh, well, they're going to do some kind of upkeep on the plane. But it was the pilot. The pilot had a flashlight.
Wow.
And I turned to my wife and literally said, is this a sign? Because they don't have an engineer. They don't have somebody, a mechanic, to work on the plane. So the pilot's just going to eyeball it with a flashlight. And maybe that's a sign that we all need to just not take this flight.
Yeah, that's not so much a premonition. That's not a premonition at all.
But then we got on the plane and it was fine.
But I wondered about this woman, and after the plane, when I landed in Seattle, I went up to one of the flight attendants who had been on the plane, and I said, and I didn't know if they'd tell me anything. I didn't think they'd tell me anything while we were still on the plane. That's why I waited till afterwards. And I said, hey, what was the deal with the woman who left right before we took off? And she said, the woman told me she was just freaking out. She was terrified, and she wanted to get off the plane. And I said, how often does that happen? And she said, every single day that happens with somebody.
That's amazing.
Every single day.
I've never seen it myself.
I had never seen it either. But remember, they have a lot of flights every day. Maybe she meant every single day in the system. I don't know. But I'm assuming she had a premonition. She had a bad feeling about the flight. She felt somehow that if she stayed on the plane, it was going to crash or somehow she was going to be injured.
It may have. She may have saved your life, Bean. Because if she stayed on that plane.
That's an interesting point.
It may have wrecked.
So we started talking about this. I told you guys when I got back from the flight, and I thought, I wonder how often that happens. I wonder if we have listeners who have changed their behavior because of a premonition, because of a feeling. Look, who can forget the Final Destination movie? Almost the exact same thing.
I got this feeling. It's a weird feeling.
The cabin starts to shake, right? And the left side blows up, and then the whole plane just explodes.
The plane can explode! It's not a joke! It's not a joke!
We get thrown off the plane all because Browning has a bad dream?
I saw it.
The plane! It's gonna blow up! It's gonna blow up!
All 287 passengers are feared dead.
Here's the thing, though. Here's the thing about that. It doesn't happen. I don't think that happens. I think people have premonitions all the time that don't come true. Do you know what I mean? Like, you have a gut feeling, but it's not, the gut feeling is not tied to anything in the world. You're just afraid for some reason, or something weird made you, you know, maybe you're claustrophobic or something like that. But these premonitions almost never come true. That's my question, is how many times has your premonition come true?
Yeah, I would be curious about that. But maybe death is following you. So when you get off the plane, that plane doesn't go down.
Oh, and maybe that woman who got off the plane had a heart attack driving home.
Could be.
After she left the plane.
Could be.
We'll never know. Yeah, so we don't know what happened with her premonition. Well, I see the phones are already blowing up, and this is what we're looking for. This is the question we are posing to you. Have you ever changed your behavior because of a premonition that you had, and what happened afterwards? And we were talking about this in the office yesterday. It doesn't have to be getting on a plane. It could be anything that you've decided to change your behavior because you had a feeling about it. And how did it work out? Ralph was suggesting maybe you had a premonition of numbers and you bought a lottery ticket and you ended up winning. I mean, that would be fantastic. That's when a premonition does come true, and it's great. But does it ever happen? That's what we want to find out.
That's the problem. Most of them are negative, I would think. Most of them are you're scared
of. Yeah, bad feelings.
Scared
about
of
something.
Fill in the blank, not going to work or getting in your car and driving, whatever it happens to be. 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls now.
All right, this is getting creepy. I'm looking at some of the calls we have coming up, and I'm starting to feel like when we do ghost stories at Halloween, we are talking about premonitions that you have. I was on a flight the other day, and a woman freaked out internally. I couldn't tell how upset she was, but I learned later from the flight attendant that she thought she had to get off that plane. Even though the doors were closed, she went and talked them into letting her back in the terminal. She left the plane, would not fly that day. And we're asking you about your premonitions, and if they've ever come true, at 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with JD. JD's on line 5. This may be exactly the type of thing we were looking for to find out whether it was true or not. Hey, JD, welcome to the show. What happened, man?
Hey, guys. Good morning. What had happened was, this was about 10 years ago. I was about 12. I was driving down the 405 from San Diego with my mom and my sister, and I just started feeling a whole bunch of pain in my stomach, and I started crying, and I was freaking out, and I yelled at my mom to pull over onto the side of the road off to the right shoulder. And about a minute after that, a car had come careening down the 405, flipped over, and exploded.
Oh, so, that's weird. So you okay.
My mom like looked back at me in the back seat after we saw it and looked at me and said, "What did you do?"
She like, thought you
were Damien.
Yeah, you did that with your mind, didn't you?
You're a baby X-Men. That's intense.
Yeah, we were all kind of freaked out that had happened.
So you don't know for sure, but had you not had that reaction and you guys had kept going, do you think maybe that car may have flipped over and hit you or something? You may have been involved in the accident?
Well, it happened on the left, like near the left shoulder, and we were on the left-hand side of the road when I started freaking out. And we may have been past it, but I knew like it was going to happen.
Does that happen? Does that happen to you often? Do you have that feeling?
Actually, yeah, it used to happen to me a lot when I was a kid, but not so much now.
What percentage of the time would you say something happens where you could consider that come true?
I'd give it about 80% of the time.
Yeah, I'm going to say no.
How about? Well, no. I mean, he's got a pretty darn good example
That's
to get us started
one.
Here, Kevin.
I'm saying that one, and then, all right.
JD, did you know that you would call with all this evidence and Kevin still wouldn't believe you? Did you know that?
Yeah, well, you know, he's a skeptic.
It's a
like
premonition.
I just
have a premonition that you're a liar, an exaggerator. Thank you, JD.
I appreciate the call. I'm on your side, JD. Thank you. Let's try Connie. Connie is on line 1 on the Kevin and Me Chill. By the way, that gave me chills, that story. I can't even imagine what it would be like for his family to be sitting in that car and see that other accident happen in front of him. That's crazy.
Hello, Connie.
Hi, guys. Hi, how are you?
Good. Tell us your story.
So I don't know if you guys remember the D.C. sniper.
Yes.
He killed a whole bunch of people. So I was in D.C. My friends and I were looking for a place to eat. He'd already killed maybe like 3 or 4 people, and they were thinking about going to this place called Seven Corners. And I just mm-hmm. said, no way. We're not going to go there.
Why?
About 5 minutes later, I don't know. I had a bad feeling he was going to be there. 5 minutes later, he shot an FBI agent in the exact place where I thought he was going to be. And we had no idea until we got home, and my roommate just came running in and gave me this giant hug because I told her that's where we were going. We got out 2 minutes ahead of the manhunt.
Wow.
Mm. Oh, wow. Now, I wonder how much of that is a premonition or how much of that is just I'm aware that there's a serial killer in the neighborhood who's shooting at places, so I don't want to go places. You know, I'm scared of going places.
I don't know. It was really random. He shot all different people in all different places, times of day and ages. It was creepy that it happened like 5 minutes later.
Were you in on it with him? Were you also a shooter?
No.
Then you would know. You would have that information. Okay.
Connie, thank you for the call. We appreciate it very much. Let's try Jake, line 2. Hey, Jake, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning, guys. What's going on?
Good morning.
You tell us.
So, this actually happened last summer. It was me, my best friend, and his girlfriend. We all, you know, decided to go out to dinner. And we all get in his car, go out to dinner. And just as we were leaving the restaurant, I got this feeling or this just seeing it, I was just like, you know what, I should just walk home for some reason. I feel like walking home. I really don't know why. I only live about 5 or 10 minutes away. I just feel like, you know, going on a walk. So I walk home, and I wake up to a knock on my door the next morning. Well, I guess on the way home, and my friend and his girlfriend were driving home, he crashed his car and hit the side of a pole, and his girlfriend died. I would have been sitting in the exact same seat where she had been sitting if I had not walked home.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Dude. So she'd still be alive. So you made the wrong call. So you made the wrong call.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, he's still alive. And, it was the kind of thing where I get chills thinking about it to this day, where why didn't I get in the car, you know?
Yeah, that's bizarre. That is weird.
Does it, I mean, did it cause any kind of serious depression? Did you go, I mean, I would imagine you would really be bummed out. I mean, grateful, happy that you're alive, but just feeling so bad that you couldn't do more to save the girlfriend.
Absolutely. I definitely have that, you know, guilt of why did I get in the car? Maybe we would have gone somewhere else. You know, what happened? But, you know.
Unbelievable.
So some people just told me not to get in, and I just kind of went with my gut on that. And,
All right, last question. Were you and your friend able to remain friends, or did that end that
for you? Oh, absolutely. We're best friends. We're still best friends.
It was even though you killed this lady.
I don't think Jake's responsible for the death.
He doesn't blame me for it.
Oh, but, good. Okay.
No, yeah, he doesn't blame me for it at all, but... Oh.
But who's skeptical of all of them coming true?
I just remembered it was in high school. I was at Challenge Wilderness Camp in Colorado, mm-hmm. and I was working there, and there were no kids there at the time, right? So we set up our tent, and then I thought, you know what? This feels weird. We need to move the tent. And the guy I was with was like, you're an idiot. I was like, trust, I don't know. Let's just move. So we moved the tent. We put a truck there instead, and we moved the tent over. During the night, a windstorm came up, and a tree big enough that to split the truck in half fell right there and split the truck in half.
Oh my God.
It was a monster tree, and it was exactly where we had the tent.
Whoa.
So you saved the lives of everyone on that camping trip.
It was me and one guy because there was not that many people, but that totally happened to me. How could I not remember that?
Well, and then you went around to the side of the truck, and there on the door handle was a bloody hook. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Coming up after the top of the hour, Ralph, if I understand correctly, it's Toilet Paper Gate or something. There's some sort of scandal involving the toilet paper here in the building, and you've had enough?
Started with this damn company and their cost-cutting measures. You know what they're going to do now? You know what I've heard?
What?
They're going to put a coin-operated air machine in the building.
Oh, no.
Where in order to breathe, you have to keep putting quarters in the machine for it to release oxygen into the building.
I don't doubt
have
that.
It hermetically sealed and then just release bursts of pure oxygen in the room.
What happens if you run out of change? What do you do then?
Die.
I think that's what they're hoping. Yeah. Cut on their employee costs as well. And it's exact change, too, only. It doesn't take dollar bills.
Oh, that's tough. Wow. That's really tough.
It's 99 cents, though.
That's the
change you have to have.
We'll find out more what's going on with the TP coming up after the top of the hour. First, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Before I get to Showbiz news, how about some more passes to the very special Kevin and Bean advanced screening of Cowboys and Aliens? Damn, I can't wait for this movie. What a great, great concept to mix an Old West with a sci-fi storyline.
And how has it never been done before?
I have no idea, but it's genius. It's based on a comic book. Somebody came up with the idea long before the film. But to take a Western film and a sci-fi movie and then put those together. Great idea.
Well, I mean, if the aliens have been around forever, it does make sense that they would visit at times in Earth's history other than the 20th and 21st century.
Yes, it does.
Bean is correct on that.
Yes, he is.
Assessment.
If you'd like to go, we've got a special screening Thursday, July the 28th, which is the day before the movie's in theaters everywhere, Friday, July 29th. The movie stars Harrison Ford, Daniel Craig, Olivia Wilde. Isn't that enough? How about Sam Rockwell? You want to throw that in the mix, too? God, I love him.
You had me at Olivia Wilde.
Great cast. So here's my trivia question. First three callers who get through at 1-800-520-1067 with the correct answer will win a pair of passes. It's a Daniel Craig trivia question, so I hope there's some Daniel Craig fans out there listening. This is going to be a little harder than the average one. Right. You won't be able to look this up too easily. You might have to know this one.
Sweet.
Daniel Craig, in 2009, had a very successful run on Broadway in a two-character drama that he co-starred with Hugh Jackman on stage. He shared the stage with Hugh Jackman in a two-character drama that was a wild success on Broadway. I actually saw it. I think you saw it too, didn't you?
Oh,
Lisa?
I did.
Yeah, I think you did. What's the name? What's the name of the play? Just name me the play that co-starred Hugh Jackman and Daniel Craig that was on Broadway to rave reviews and sold out audiences everywhere in 2009. 1-800-520-1067. That is the number to call. Gwen Stefani's back in No Doubt. She's also back in the clothing business. She's got a new line of clothing for preschoolers. Harajuku Mini, the line is called. And you'll be able to buy it exclusively at my favorite clothing boutique, Target.
Oh, very upscale.
That's
Target.
What?
Yeah, it's just Target.
Oh, yeah. Someone told me it was a very upscale boutique. Yeah.
Yeah, you'll be able to find clothes for your kids made by Gwen Stefani. And she should know. She's got a ton of them.
That's true.
Right. She's got Zuma, and she's got Malibu.
I think those are beaches.
She's got Point Dune.
They
Point
sound
Dune,
like Barbies.
She's got, she's got Santa Monica, I know.
Newport?
Newport. She's got Newport. She's got Huntington.
Got a lot of kids.
She's got Laguna.
Guys, she's got Pipeline in Hawaii. While we're going,
she's
while
got
we're at it.
Pipeline in Hawaii.
Well, I'm just saying.
They're children's names.
Let's.
She doesn't have a child in Hawaii.
I thought I had to clarify because there's no. You were local. Never mind. Because you. Never mind.
Ralph, does your Target store also have a grocery store built in?
My Target has everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could live there, right?
You could live there.
You got everything.
It's a city.
Everything at a Target. So, yeah. So, congratulations to Gwen Stefani. Madonna also releasing a new clothing line at Macy's. Wow, all these broads are going like sort of low rent.
Well, maybe they realize that the economy isn't
maybe,
so great.
Maybe that's where they need stuff. Yeah, she's got a line of girls' stuff as well.
If you look like jerky, you can wear this.
That's right.
Clothing.
Skin tight mesh. Everything's made out of that. Phil Spector still in prison for murder. They're making a movie about his murder trial on HBO. Al Pacino will be playing Phil Spector. And Bette Midler was supposed to play his lawyer. But she has dropped out of the project. Now Helen Mirren will be stepping in. I think that's a bit of an upgrade in the acting department.
Kidding.
Apparently, Bette had to pull out of the film because she suffered a herniated disc.
Mm. Yeah. Because she was dancing around trying to be all sexy.
She is sexy, man. She's a sex bomb.
Ugh.
Kevin Costner's in negotiations to join Quentin Tarantino's new film, Django Unchained. Story of a former slave who becomes a bounty hunter. Christoph Waltz is already in the film, Samuel L. Jackson and Leonardo DiCaprio. And Costner apparently would play the guy who trains slaves to fight.
Yeah.
You know, there's no such thing as casting that I don't buy in a Tarantino movie. I don't care who you say. If you said Dustin Diamond was going to be in the movie, I'd be fine with it because I know Quentin Tarantino knows how to use actors in his movies.
And he's the king, by the way, of reviving careers. He
absolutely.
He's done that more often than anyone else in terms of getting people back on track. And I think Costner can be good when he's used well.
Yeah, yeah. So. And Tarantino is a great writer and a great director, so you couldn't ask for a better comeback than that.
And Emma Watson's not sitting on her laurels, even though Harry Potter and The Deathly Hallows Part 2 is now the most successful film in the world right now. She is already signing on to do another film. Guillermo del Toro is directing a new take on Beauty and the Beast. Emma will play the Beauty, naturally. The Beast, no word yet who will play the role, but apparently Chelsea Handler is in talks. So keep our fingers crossed. I think that'd be awesome.
I think they'd still have to pretty her up, though, right?
Oh, sure. Yeah, exactly. Beast. You don't want that bunch of a beast. Who's our winner? Is it Paras?
It is.
Paras?
Paris.
Paris, I'm sorry.
Ah, no worries.
What was the name of the play starring those two guys?
A Steady Rain.
A Steady Rain indeed, sir. Yay! It was an excellent, excellent show. I saw it in New York. We were there for the MTV Video Music Awards, I think, that year on 2009. Hold on, we're going to give you all the details, but you are going to see Cowboys and Aliens before anybody else.
Brilliant, thank you.
Hold on. Also, congratulations to Shoshana and Leanne. They also are going to see the film.
Not all guys. Strange.
Well, because,
compared with the
because it was a theater question. Because it was a theater question, that's why. If I'd asked about Captain America the musical, probably had all girls, too. You know, there was an attempt at a Captain America musical?
I would love for that
Back
to happen.
Back in the 80s, I think they tried to mount it, and it just didn't happen. If only Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark had met such a fate. Today's celebrity birthday is Brian May of Queen of 64. Anthony Edwards celebrates his 49th birthday. Jason McGurr of Death Cab for Cutie is 37. Vitaly, Dr. Iron Fist Klitschko, he is 40 years old today, current WBC heavyweight champion boxer. And Jared Padalecki of Supernatural's 29. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
Time for our final look at the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph Garman is here. What's going on, Ralph?
Countdown to Comic-Con!
Very excited.
I go down tomorrow.
You're going down tomorrow right after the show. That's
yes.
Right.
Well, not right after.
We are going to Comic-Con in San Diego.
I'm going as soon as I can on Wednesday because I have to get up early Thursday morning. I'll be broadcasting from down there Thursday. You guys will still be here. And then I got panels in the afternoon. And then Friday morning, you guys will be broadcasting with me down there. And then I have panels again. And then I got the Hollywood Babylon show with Kevin Smith at the House of Blues later that evening. It's jam-packed.
Oh, this is Christmas time for
it
Ralph.
It is, really.
It really is.
It's the greatest time of the year.
Let me tell you where it really hurts, Ralph. And again, the fact that you're piggybacking on our Comic-Con broadcast is kind of ticking me off a little bit, but we're going to let you fly. What hurts is knowing that you're broadcasting live from San Diego on Thursday with the beautiful Sarah Shahi at your side. Yes. That's what hurts.
Oh my God.
Good one.
Yes, Sarah Shahi and I will be in studio together. We'll be chatting to you guys from San Diego.
Reschedule her for Friday.
No, I'm sorry. She's not available on Friday. She's only available on Thursday.
Is she practically as perfect as a woman can be,
she
Sarah Shahi?
She is just adorable and talented and funny, and she's got that the Fairly Legal show on, which I think she's great in. But I loved her from Life, too, even before that, when she was doing that show.
Yeah.
She's just super talented.
That's not right. We got to get that changed.
She's so charming.
I'm going to come down tomorrow.
I think Seth Green's also joining me on Thursday. He's going to be down there with me as well.
Hardwick, he'll be with you?
Chris Hardwick will be coming in, the Nerdist himself. So it's a big show. You guys can probably take the day if you want. I think I got it. I think I got Thursday
Sarah
handled.
Shahi, that hurts
you guys
me.
Go play golf.
It's painful.
I know you love golf.
Yeah, the both
of you.
We're avid golfers.
Yeah.
It's just very exciting. Yeah. I mean, in our in our defense, though, you may have Sarah Shahi on Thursday. Friday, we've got Adam Sessler stopping by. Oh. So, I mean, we get some eye candy, too, though.
Well, I know you guys are hardcore comic book fans, and that's why we're going to Comic-Con, because you guys sort of drive that show. I was wondering for each of you, who's your favorite member of the Justice Society of America?
We've been saying for a long time that we should be broadcasting from there, and you're the one fighting.
I know. Yeah. You are the true comic book geek. So I was just wondering, which member of the Justice Society of America?
Captain America.
Oh, Captain America?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny, because he's an Avenger. He's not really in the Justice Society of America.
Well, I thought you were going to ask that as a trivia question, so I didn't want to give away the real answer.
No, I'm asking you personally.
Yeah, I don't know.
You don't know which one is your favorite?
No.
Because you love them all so much?
Yes.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's it. It's a tie.
All of them, Ralph.
Asses.
Mine is Eric Estrada. I think Eric Estrada was the best.
I'm going to provide bricks and bottles.
Oh, how dare
to
you.
The listeners to pelt you with when we get down there, because that's what you deserve.
That is what we deserve.
Let's talk showbiz news. This is pretty cool. Beastie Boys got a new video.
Who?
Beastie Boys.
Oh, that was a mess.
Oh, that was a mess.
That was terrible. That didn't do justice to a great video.
That's terrible.
Yeah, that was terrible. New video. Spike Jonze directed it. The boys become action figures in the video. If you haven't seen it yet, you got it up at kevinandbean.com if you want to check it out. But it's for their new song, Don't Play No Game That I Can't Win. And it's wildly entertaining, and I think you need to check it out.
Their videos are always great.
They really are. Remember when Sabotage first came out, that video? And everybody was like, this is unlike anything I've ever seen in a video before. Really, just great production values.
And then the last one with Will Ferrell and all those guys. That was crazy.
So funny. While we're talking about music... You remember Rebecca Black, don't you?
Of course.
She gave us Friday.
Friday, Friday, Friday.
Yeah, well, her sophomore effort is now available. Went up last night on her YouTube channel.
She has a second song?
Yes, and this is the one that's going to put her over the top. This song is autobiographical. It's about her moment, her being in her moment, how she is now a star. And all the haters who said she has no talent and she can't do it, well, she's proven them wrong because this is her moment.
My one wish is about to come true. I'm not stopping for you, no matter what you do. I'll just keep on dreaming, my head up in the clouds, when nobody's around to see. This is my moment, my moment.
No! 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 No!
That's not good.
That's her moment.
But that's not good.
The video's filled with her shots of her like walking red carpets at premieres and waving to fans and signing autographs. No. I am not kidding you.
She doesn't know that everybody watched it because it was so bad.
She does not understand the miracle that is the ironic download.
This song is, it's hard to believe I'm going to describe it this way, is too good.
Yes. Too good to be interesting.
But not good enough to like. Not at all.
Right.
The problem that I have with all of this kind of music is I no longer can tell the difference between good songs and bad songs in this genre. To me, that sounds like 20 other songs that are out right now that get played on the radio as real hits.
That's what Kevin is saying, that no one's going to pay attention because it's just going to fade into the paper.
Or it's going to be a big hit because it sounds like everything else that gets played on the radio.
No way. Nah. She's done. Her moment's over. That's her next single.
My moment's over.
I sure enjoyed
it. It's over. I'm 14 and I'm washed up. My life is so over.
Ugh, most annoying 14.
I hope you cut yourself, and I hope you get an eating disorder so you'll look pretty.
Yes.
And I hope you go cut and die.
Exactly. Okay. That's how we feel. That's what we're saying.
That's not what we're saying.
Oh, we're not?
No.
Oh, okay. What do we want then? I understand. What are we putting out there into the universe?
What is the message? I've lost the message.
Rebecca Black is bad.
What are we praying for?
Not death. Unless it's natural.
This is going to be cool. This next James Bond movie. Daniel Craig's back as 007 and what's being called Bond 23 for now. Judi Dench is returning as M. The bad guys in the movie? Oh, just a few guys named Javier Bardem and Ralph Fiennes.
Wow. Come on with that.
How's that for a 1-2 punch?
Ralph Fiennes was No-Nose, wasn't he?
He was Voldemort. Yes.
Yeah.
He's Voldemort,
the one who shall not be named, yes. That we just named. He was that. He was also the bad guy in Schindler's List. I mean, if you want a bad guy resume, that's a pretty good one.
No kidding.
Nazi.
Who's the new Q, by the way? There's some new actor that I like for playing Q this time around, too, Ralph.
They haven't announced it officially, but Reese Ifans, who you may remember as the crazy roommate in Notting Hill.
He's a very funny guy.
He was also in a movie that I love called Pirate Radio, about radio in the 60s in Britain, how they used to broadcast offshore so they were playing rock and roll and that kind of stuff. Very funny, very talented guy. Word is he is going to be the new Q in the next James Bond movie. So.
Interesting.
He's also in the new Spider-Man movie, The Amazing Spider-Man. Plays the villain in that piece, who apparently I'm not allowed to say who it is. But I will be saying at Comic-Con this weekend.
Oh, what a
because
tease.
I've seen footage from The Amazing Spider-Man.
What a tease you are.
Wow.
Yeah. I know people. I've done things. I will continue to do them. Charlie Sheen is in the news.
Good. I miss him.
Returning to television, boys and girls.
Great.
It's a done deal. They actually are going to produce Anger Management, the sitcom, starring Charlie Sheen as an anger management counselor who gets caught up in the lives of the people he works with. It's going to be produced by Lionsgate TV. I mentioned this story before, saying the sticking point was finding a showrunner or someone who would work closely with Charlie and run the show. But now they found that person. They said they filled that void.
All right.
Somebody's willing to work with Charlie Sheen shoulder to shoulder.
Is somebody willing to air it?
That's the only problem. They have not found a network that will step up and say, yes, we'll put that on our air.
Yeah, that's going to be
true. It's probably going to be a cable show. That's what they're assuming. None of the networks will touch
it. This is never going to happen.
Well, we'll see.
Hopefully.
Maybe he'll do it like on a tour. Maybe he'll take another tour and do it live on stage.
And then bring in Jeff Ross to make it funny?
That's right. Today's celebrity birthdays, Jared Padalecki from Supernatural, 29 years old today. Jason McCurr from Death Cab for Cutie, the drummer for that band. He's 37. Vitaly Dr. Iron Fist Klitschko. There's been some debate all morning long, people emailing me, whether it's Vitaly or Vitaly.
Depends where you're from.
Vitaly sounds dumb.
Yeah, I think Vitaly, so too. Right? I think it's Vitaly. That's how they say it, I think.
Anyway, Klitschko's 40 years old today. He is from the WBC, of course, the heavyweight champion. Anthony Edwards is 49, and Brian May of the band Queen is 64 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning, we have an all-new show. We have Dimitri Martin in studio.
Great.
How about that?
Funny.
Funny, funny guy. We have Dr. Drew on tomorrow's show.
Not a doctor.
He is a doctor. He is a doctor. Once and for all.
Whose patients never survive.
That's incorrect. We also have a brand new internet roundup for you. We have Emmanuel Shrieky from Entourage.
Oh, I thought it was Emmanuel Lewis. I got all excited.
Talking about
I thought Webster was coming in.
Talking about the final season of Entourage and more tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.